The Preston and Steve Daily Podcast is presented by Acme. Acme, fresh foods, local flavors, and the official supermarket of MMR's Preston and Steve Show.
93.3 WMMR, audio on demand, presents the Preston and Steve Show podcast. And now, Preston and Steve's news updates with Kathy Romano.
It is Thursday, March 28th. Good morning, Kathy.
Good morning. In the news this morning, the Pennsylvania Health Department reported that the clinic set up at Temple University offering the mumps vaccine had over 2,200 people show up yesterday. The university set up the free clinic to combat the school's recent mumps outbreak and administered over 2,200 MMR booster shots to students, faculty, and staff on Wednesday. Temple says even after the flood of students, they still have 1,800 doses of the vaccine available, with more on the way. Since the virus has a two-week incubation period, officials still expect there to be another wave of mumps even after the vaccine have been offered. The outbreak at the school has sickened 106 people. Temple will host another free clinic on Friday from 9 until 4, but I think they were happy with the turnout, over 2,200 people. They said they have 1,800 doses left over, and they have more coming in. They're going to have another clinic 9 to 4, and I thought it was just open to students, but it's faculty and staff as well.
That's cool.
Yeah. Police are searching for a man who was part of a trio that robbed a couple at gunpoint in South Philadelphia early Thursday. Police said the incident began just after 3 a.m. when officers responded to a 911 call for a robbery at Broad and Fitzwater. A couple had reported to police that they were robbed of a purse, a cell phone, and a wallet by three men at gunpoint. Shortly after, an officer spotted one of the suspects on South Street, and the chase ensued. According to investigators, one of the suspects was found hiding in an abandoned home in the 1300 block of Cater Street. Police said the man had a loaded gun in his hand and pointed it at the officer. Officers fired two shots but didn't hit the suspect. Philadelphia Police Chief Inspector Scott Small says at this time it appears to be a justifiable police discharge. Authorities said a fight ensued and the officer injured his knee and his hand but was able to get the gun from the suspect, and the suspect was taken into custody. Police said a second suspect fitting the description given was located at 11th and Washington Streets and taken into custody there. Police are still searching for the third suspect. They say he is believed to be wearing dark clothing and may have gotten away on a bike. According to police, no one was seriously hurt during the incident. One winning ticket matched all six numbers in Wednesday's $768.4 million Powerball jackpot.
It's amazing.
Yep, the ticket was sold in Wisconsin. Yeah, lottery officials have not yet released the exact location just yet. However, Casey, there was one ticket worth $1 million sold in New Jersey.
Oh, that's not bad.
Wisconsin Lottery tweeted out in the early morning hours saying 768.4 million ways to say Wisconsin. The Powerball winning ticket sold in Wisconsin is the largest in that state's lottery history. The winning numbers are 16, 20, 37, 44, 62, and the Powerball is 12.
I got one Powerball.
No! Wow.
Dude!
One Powerball.
What is that entitled to?
My numbers right now. You get a free play, right?
$4.
Yeah, two free plays.
Oh, yeah.
The biggest
Wisconsin.
The biggest all-time lottery jackpot was $1.5863 billion. It was a Powerball prize in 2016. Powerball is played in 44 states, and the odds of winning the Powerball jackpot are 1 in 292 million. In sports this morning...
Ball sacks are yummy.
The Flyers beat the Toronto Maple Leafs 5-4 in overtime last night at the Center. Sean Couturier. Technically, yes, they did. Sean Couturier scored in regulation and provided the only goal in the shootout. Radko Gudas, Travis Konecny, and Ryan Hartman also scored for the Flyers, who remain mathematically alive for the postseason. With the win, they move within 8 points of Idle Montreal for the final playoff spot in the Eastern Conference. There are only 5 games left in the regular season, and the Flyers are off on Saturday afternoon, until Saturday afternoon when they'll travel to Carolina to play the Hurricanes. The Sixers will look to end their 2-game losing streak when they host the Brooklyn Nets tonight in South Philly. When the playoffs begin in 2 weeks, the two teams could face each other in the first round. Right now, the Sixers are in third place in the Eastern Conference, 4.5 games behind Toronto and 2.5 games in front of Indiana. The Nets are in sixth place, 0.5 game in front of Detroit. Tip-off is at 7 o'clock. And the Phillies open their season today at Citizens Bank Park against Atlanta. The defending champ Braves will face a Phillies team looking to make the postseason for the first time since 2011. The Phillies had arguably the best offseason in team history with the acquisitions of Bryce Harper, JT Realmuto, Andrew McCutcheon, Gene Segura and David Robertson. The opening day starter is Aaron Nola, who finished third in National League Cy Young Award voting last year. Julio Teheran will go for the Braves, and the first pitch at the ballpark is scheduled for 3:05. And that's what I have for you this morning.
All right, thank you very much, Kath. We got a bunch going on today's programs. We're edging towards a weekend. We will get there eventually, and we'll give away Casey's Corner VIP experience for the MMRBQ. Of course, you'll need the letter of the day. We give that away tomorrow. Guest-wise on the show, it's going to be a lot of fun. We have a triple threat starting off about an hour from now. We have the entire Double Dare crew here this morning.
Yeah.
Mark Summers, Robin, and Harvey will all be here.
So the last time they were all together here in the studio, I think we significantly traumatized them, correct?
That was Drunk Day Double Dare, yes. I believe, the last time we had all three together here. I've been with the three of them since when I participated in Dunkel Dare a couple of years ago. I think it was 2016, maybe. And but we haven't had them all three here together in the studio. So
I'm surprised they came back in, actually.
Yeah.
They had a nice shot at Casey's bunghole.
I remember them, like, being a little bit nervous.
They were a little nervous, and we delivered.
Well, that was a big reunion for the three of them.
Yeah, it was cool.
So they're back for Double Dare Live tonight and tomorrow at the Miriam Theater. So we'll have all three in here. That should be really, really cool. So in about an hour, they'll be stopping by. We also have a comedian, Pete Correal, who is stopping by today, and he'll be performing at the Sellersville Theater tomorrow night. So we'll spend some time with him. And we have to spend the morning going through this.
It's time for Preston and Steve's Daily Rush Madness.
All right, a couple of things. First, let's start with our matchups from yesterday and who won what.
Yeah.
Our first matchup was Preston and Steve Tribe Durian Fruit against Regis Tells Kathy to Shut Up. And by 53%, Regis beat the durian fruit. So.
I would not have called that. I would not have called that.
Yep, so 53%. Then you had Donkey Pupe against If I Had a Hammer, the new lyrics. And just, it's another close one. These were 8 and 9 seed, by the way.
Yeah.
By 51%, Donkey Pupe won that. Next, you had Manthi Snort Dort against Casey Stiff Neck. Casey was really pulling for the underdog with the stiff neck. But unfortunately, Manthi reigned supreme with 65% of the vote and moves on to the next round.
Then you had, good.
Yeah. Then you had the Racist Principal and the Devil against Kathy's Dreamcatcher and Manthi's Alexa. And I really wanted Manthi's Alexa to win. It did not. The Racist Principal beats with 70% of the vote. And then finally, a matchup against me. The bad commercial read I did against the Speed Peer. And this one, a bit of an upset as well, because you had a 7 and 10 seed, and the 10 seeder won with 63% of the vote.
Wow!
Vote Speed Peer moves on.
Wow!
To the next round. So for today, Marissa did some math and figured out that in order for us to land on a specific date, we want to wrap this up. We're going to have to do more than 5 matchups today. In fact, I believe we're going to have 7 all
together.
We'll have
7, yeah.
So we'll just tell you what they are. You can go to WMMR.com and vote on them. Let's get our first 2 matchups for the day. I watched both of these videos yesterday. It's a tough call, but I think I know which one I want to win. It's from the Anyway region. David Blaine tortures Stephen Hawking versus Severus Snape, the mother trucker. So just a reminder, here's a little bit of the David Blaine and Stephen Hawking moment.
Stephen, I'm going to set your hair on fire now.
No, please, no.
This tank is full of piranhas, and I'm going to dip your hand into it. But they're not going to attack for some reason.
Maybe that'll turn them off.
No.
It's amazing how many different ways David Blaine tortured Stephen Hawking in that. And then the last one was the Severus Snape bit. Here we go.
And then, when it is all done, I shall pleasure myself into the sorting hat.
Oh, my God. Not the sorting hat.
Oh, man.
I think I want that one to win.
The sorting hat? Yeah.
Oh, my God. It's so good. All right. So, WMMR.com. Go to the website. Click on the banner that says Daily Rush Madness. And then you can watch videos if you like or not. But you can vote for sure. And you can get entered to win our grand prize, which is a chance for you to see every single show for the rest of the year at Punchline, which is our sponsor. So, Daily Rush Madness continues. Thank you for playing along. By the way, a number of first round. I think we're going to wrap up all the first rounds today, right, Marissa? So we will then officially be moving into the next section.
Wow.
That's great.
Yeah, I know. We're moving along.
Do you have any
predictions?
Any idea?
No.
I thought I did, and now I don't.
Once we get down to, and by the way, with the NCAA tournament,
yeah,
they have copywritten some phrases that you can't say.
Oh, right.
So once we get, I think, to the savory 16.
The savory 16.
All right.
What a crock of crap.
I will. Well, we're just going to have to make stuff up.
Yeah, yeah. Once we get to the stupid 16. The stupid,
there you go.
Savory, yes. Stupid, all good. The like stupid 16.
Once we get to the stupid 16, then I'll start making predictions.
All right.
But as of now, it's an open field. I don't know.
You know, it's funny because one of the really close ones, which I was having trouble deciding which way would break, Preston, was the your twofer, the bathroom run, and the horrible commercial read in it. And it's an interesting thing to see what people respond to, because I always love flubs, and I always love people caught, you know, and you were just genuinely losing it. That always cracks me up. However, the coverage of your run to the bathroom and back was pretty engaging.
I think it's the visual nature.
Yeah.
That's exactly what I was thinking, Steve. I mean, keep in mind, these are videos. I mean, you know, we have
that's what they're competing on.
Hopefully that people are voting on that criteria.
Right.
Hopefully they're watching it and then voting it. Yeah.
But looks good so far. But David Blaine against Severus Snape. This one I can't call. I love both of these videos equally.
What launched into the Severus Snape thing?
So it was Alan Rickman. There was a story that came out that said Alan Rickman had become bored with that role.
Okay.
And he had died, I guess, maybe a year prior or something like that. But he had written a letter to someone who said how bored of that role he was becoming. And so we started playing clips from one of the movies and just lavishing how great his delivery is.
Okay.
In that. So that's
I remember
got,
that.
That's how the whole thing got started.
Mr. Pop.
Exactly.
That, okay. Yeah.
So anyhow, we got some great matchups today. Follow along, if you will, all the information at WMMR.com and PresidentSteve.com. We're going to take a break. Come back in a second. We'll get to the entertainment report and a stupid question when we get back. Stay with us. We're going to have a good time today.
This 93.3 WMMR audio on demand program returns after a brief word from our sponsors.
At Steven Singer Jewelers, everyone gets the perfect price. No coupons, no sales, no negotiating. Feel great about buying a diamond. Visit Steven Singer, the other corner of 8th and Walnut in Philly, or online at IHateStevenSinger.com. Always with free shipping. Steven Singer Jewelers. One place, one price.
Prince Creek Outfitters in Phoenixville has everything you need for the great outdoors and beyond. All the big-name brands, they have them. Visit FrenchCreekOutfitters.com for additional info. French Creek Outfitters, why take a chance with anybody else?
This is the Preston and Steve Show podcast.
Hey, you know what? I got a text. I'm curious about this. It says, just saw a massive streak of light in the sky. I'm in the Glassboro, New Jersey area. Anyone else see that?
It's a UFO.
UFO.
Did you see the footage? It was over Manhattan. There was a Red Bull stunt. And they
It was in Los Angeles.
Was it Los Angeles?
Yeah,
okay.
So, yeah.
Pretty wild, though.
Yeah, they had these wingsuit guys, and they had these big streamers, basically pyrotechnics off their feet.
Oh, no.
And it looked like
missiles. Like incoming missiles.
An asteroid or something like that. It was pretty cool, actually.
That is cool.
Yeah. So anyhow, I don't know. Maybe somebody knows. Text in and let us know if you've seen something like that. We are going to do this. We're kind of doubling up today a few times, but we're going to do another Daily Rush.
It's time for Preston and Steve's Daily Rush Madness.
Let's give you another matchup. Not before I did see another text that asked if we could please update the brackets on our website so they can follow along. So
yes.
Marissa is giving me a thumbs up. It's done. All right. It's already done. Fun and finish. She's Johnny on the spot, man.
Who's better than Marissa?
Next matchup we have is from the Hey Bitches region, and we have... Wow, really popular, and in fact, it's a number one seed. The Pennsylvania New State Song versus Bill Weston's Halloween costume.
Wow.
Yeah.
Wow.
Was that when Bill was dressed as
Severus Snape? Yeah.
Oh, wow.
And we gave him the 2-foot-long dildo.
As a magic wand.
Uh-huh. All right, let's just refresh our memories. Here's a little clip from the Pennsylvania State Song.
Pennsylvania! O'er the mountains and o'er the sea. We have the mountains, but we don't have the sea.
But then
we're only an hour away from it. But we're only an hour's away.
45 minutes if you drive
25
fast.
Yes, unless you get on the Garden State Parkway.
All right. So you can vote on that, or you can vote on this one, Bill Weston's Halloween costume. Here we go.
Not touching that thing.
Say Wingardium Leviosa.
Leviar Leviosa.
God, that is just
that's
wrong.
Great, that's why he was holding a 2-foot-long dildo that we have in the studio. So, WMMR.com or PrestonandSteve.com. You can go there and click on the Daily Rush Madness banner, and it's going to take you to those videos. Watch them if you like, and then vote. And please let us know. That's yet another one of our matchups. But a number one seed against a number 16 seed. We'll see if those standings hold or not. So, in the meantime, we're going to do a lesson question.
A lot of texts
are saying they saw that as well.
Yeah, a lot of people saw a shooting star this morning. It seems like that's what it was.
Okay. All right, cool. Well, there you go. It's been verified. Stupid question this morning. We're going to give away a pair of tickets to join. It just landed.
Hear the crap out of
me. All right.
Steering bell.
To join Casey and Nick in a suite for the Monster Energy NASCAR Cup Series race, Dover International Speedway on May 5th. Okay, so the word Jeep comes from the military abbreviation GP, which refers to what?
Mm-hmm.
What does GP stand for? 215-263-WMMR. But that's where we ended up getting the word Jeep from, because it was initially a military vehicle, and it was abbreviated GP. What does that GP stand for? 215-263-WMMR. Call now. I'm going to go through some birthdays today. Today is Thursday, March 28th. I don't know if we have any music to accompany this or not.
I think we will.
But it's a big one. She is on top of the world right now. Lady Gaga.
Yeah.
She is 33 years old today. I thought she was a little older than that, but...
Yeah, I'm sure she'd love to hear that.
33. Well, I mean, she just seems... It seems like she's been around for a really long time.
When she kind of presents herself a little older sometimes.
Well, you see her with Tony Bennett. But you know what I'm saying? She has an appreciation for this stuff. So this stuff never really caught me all that much. But then when I saw her sit behind the piano and... She can read and write music. She can rock. She's a big rock fan. I really, really like her.
Yeah, she's very, very dynamic. So 33 years old today, Lady Gaga. Maybe Bradley will give her a call.
Have you seen the movie yet?
No, I have not.
Yeah, she's great. She really is.
Yep, I gotta see it. Julia Stiles, the actress, movies like 10 Things I Hate About You.
All and, dancing movies.
Save the Last Dance.
Yeah.
She was in those. Yep.
And she was in the, wasn't she in the Bourne movies as well?
She was for, I think, a couple of them. I caught her in this terrible movie. It was so bad.
What was it?
And I couldn't remember. I don't know why I didn't turn it off. Okay. So she's in med school and she meets a boy. And the boy is actually a prince from Denmark. But he doesn't want anybody to know about this.
I don't remember that.
It was horrible.
I guess it's one of the earlier films she did.
It's not now. No, it's not now. No, she was younger. Yeah. Med school age or whatever.
Was it called The Prince and Me?
Probably.
That was in 2004.
It was horrendous.
All right.
And these... All right, whatever. We're doing birthdays now. Sorry, guys.
Oh, you're about to go down another...
It's so easy for me
to get
caught up.
Do you have 10 or 15 minutes? I'd like to address something here.
Julia Stiles is 38 today. Vince Vaughn has his birthday.
Just thinking about Vince Vaughn.
Yeah?
And I was like, where is he? Yeah.
Yeah, I've not really seen him. Let me see what he's been working on. Nick has pulled up his...
Well, that's producer, sorry.
IMDb, and let's see what he's been in acting-wise. He's got some stuff coming out. Fighting With My Family, apparently. He's in that, so we haven't seen that yet. Against All Enemies is another one that is completed, but before that, Dragged Across Concrete, F is for Family.
He was on
Brawl in Cell Block 99. I don't know.
He was on that second season of True Detective.
That's it.
Not good, in my opinion. I didn't care for it at all. I thought it was really slow.
Mm. But he's been in some great stuff. Swingers and Old School and Dodgeball. And
West Mantooth.
Yes, West Mantooth. That's correct.
He's so goddamn good in those.
He's 49 today. Diane Weist, I guess is how you pronounce her last name. Is it Weist?
Yeah.
Okay. From Footloose. And The Lost Boys, and Edward Scissorhands, and Law and Order.
Parenthood.
She's 71. She was in Parenthood?
Yeah, wasn't she? Yeah.
Yeah. Was she the wife?
She's the one who, when they have the blackout and the kid goes to get the flashlight out of her, comes in.
That's
with the,
who that is.
Yeah, she has the electric dildo.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, she's great. I like her. She's 71 today. Brett Ratner, the director, brought us the Rush Hour movies.
Had a lot of, he had a couple of Me Too issues.
Did he really?
Was
he the one with the twinks?
No, that's Brian Singer.
That's Brian Singer. Okay.
Ratner is a misogynist.
Okay, he's 50.
And Singer likes the twinks. He's 52 today.
You know, is twink a bad term?
I don't know. I always thought it was a term that came out of the community, but I'm beginning to think it might be out of vogue.
Because
right
I don't mean to be offensive by saying that. No. But like,
that's what's. And in the article that originally was written about Bryan Singer's lusts.
Right.
The journalist used that word.
Yeah.
I don't know.
So listen,
I don't know.
If it's a bad word, please give me give me a pass and let me know.
You know
I
what,
won't
though?
Use it anymore.
And then you'll probably wear your I'm a twink too shirt. Okay. So Brett Ratner's 50 today, and then the last birthday is Shanna Mochler.
Oh.
She was formerly married to Travis Barker from Blink-182. It's
an incredible actress.
It says actress, model, and reality TV star. She was a porn star, right?
After that, does it say ha, ha, ha?
No, she looks like a porn star.
I thought she was a porn star.
I'm not sure, but she's one of those real housewifey types.
Yeah, I don't think she's a porn star.
She's just been cosmetically altered in 50 million different ways.
You just end up thinking of the chick who's in the... Is it Hooray for Boobies or whatever? The what's that girl's name with the...
Oh, Lindemol?
Lindemol, yeah.
Yeah, the one who's the...
Janine Lindemuller?
Right.
No, Hooray for Boobies is the Bloodhound Gang. You're thinking of Take Off Your Pants and Jacket or Enema of the State.
Enema
of the State. Twink. Shanna is 44 today, by the way. All right, let's see if we can get an answer to the stupid question. The word Jeep comes from the military abbreviation GP, which stands for what? 215-263 WMMR. I will go to Rich and see if we can get the answer. Hey, Rich, good morning.
Good morning.
Rich, yeah.
It says G's for government and the P is for the 80-inch wheelbase recon car.
No, that's absolutely incorrect. Thank you for your call, Rich. I appreciate what you're reading, but thank you so much.
You should have went with your first answer.
Let me get my glasses here.
I can see the screen. It says the first, it says Yahoo.
Let me go to Rod.
It says http://.
I'm going to go. Sorry about that.
No, we just can't.
I'm going to go to Ron. Hi, Ron.
Yes.
Yeah, Rod.
Yeah, sorry.
What the hell's going on? Oh, I know what happened, Preston.
What?
That meteor.
Hey,
that,
I think it may have affected everyone.
Absolutely.
Ron, what does GP stand for?
General Purpose.
Yeah, General Purpose.
That, he was a three-star general, wasn't he?
According to my sources. So, Ron, hang on a second. General Purpose Vehicle is what it was known as, GP. So
General Purpose reporting for duty, sir.
And they made it short. they made it Jeep out of that. So we're going to set you up with a pair of tickets to join Casey and Nick in a suite for the Monster Energy NASCAR Cup Series race at Dover International Speedway.
You?
Yeah. Celebrate Dover International Speedway's 50th anniversary during race weekend, May 3rd through the 5th. And for information and tickets, you can visit doverspeedway.com. All right, let's get into all this stuff here. We're going to lead with the Jesse Smollett thing because that continues on for a little while. He may have had the criminal charges related to his alleged staged January 29th hate crime dropped. But the case seems to be far from over. The Empire star may still face some federal charges and civil lawsuits related to the scandal and may file one himself, according to multiple reports. On Wednesday, police released the entire 61-page investigative report into the attack. An hour later, a court order reportedly barred them from releasing further files, though much of the report is available in some form online. The report includes information on a search warrant that police obtained for the star's iCloud account and details about their questioning of a pair of Nigerian brothers who claim he hired them to stage the attack. The FBI has considered filing charges for mail fraud. We talked about this yesterday. It's currently investigating whether or not he sent himself hate mail the week before the alleged attack. Chicago Mayor Rahm Emanuel is also reportedly considering a suit to recoup money that the city waited on or used on the investigation.
Yeah, they're saying, Preston, like $200,000 to $300,000 in expenses to pull all the people off for this search. The amount of like 13-14 police officers. I mean, they really threw a lot at this when this first happened. You remember they were doing this exhaustive search. It was crazy.
Emanuel spoke out on ABC's Good Morning America Wednesday, saying that he is determined to figure out what happened. He said, the first part, I want to get to the bottom of it. Did he commit this hoax? That is the question that has to first be answered.
The second question is, what happened here that allowed the state's attorney's office that was in the room with the police department when they decided to actually bring the charges to the grand jury that actually brought the indictments? What made them all of a sudden say, you know what, on second thought, this is enough?
I don't know how they can say that they lost that money, because all these people that are investigating, these are salaried individuals, right? So it's not like they had to call these people.
If it was for a hoax, that's wasted money.
Right. Wasted money.
Now technically they were doing what they're supposed to do.
Right.
But again, police officers that were diverted to work on this case
weren't working.
Could have been working on other cases.
And I understand that.
Does that usually happen?
What?
Is there if someone calls in a false report, are they usually sued by the city?
I don't know. I know that they will sometimes try to recoup the costs,
If you're found guilty of something like that, then right. They fine you for it, you know. But I'm not familiar with a suit being brought.
Well, they're saying, like you had mentioned, is he going to sue himself, Jussie Smollett?
Yeah, there's more
on
that.
And the popular consensus is, no, he won't, because if he does, he'll have to try to prove his case. And there's apparently a ton of evidence we're not even privy to yet that is an ironclad case.
Away.
Just walk away.
Walk away.
You won.
That is an ironclad case.
Oh, that's what the police police chief is saying. Rahm Emanuel, although he hasn't seen it, talked to the police chief, and a lot of other people say it's an ironclad case. They have video footage of him with the two guys in a cab, and text messages and all this other stuff. So, but then again, I haven't seen it, so take it to court. Let's see how it plays out.
When his attorney also appeared on Good Morning America Wednesday to discuss the turnaround in the case, she responded to George Stephanopoulos' question about a possible suit, saying, "We're weighing our options now." And said, for Jussie, what's really important is he really just wants his career and life back. Again, he did not ask for any of this. He was the victim of a crime, they said. As far as the investigation into the crime goes, another attorney for Smollett, Patricia Brown Holmes, said police should continue to investigate brothers Abel and Ola Alcindario, who police said Smollett paid to stage the attack. Smollett maintained his innocence throughout the investigation. So we'll see. Obviously, this isn't going away anytime soon. Wendy Williams. So fans have been concerned about her for a while, and the worries seem to grow by the day. The most recent reports had Wendy in the hospital drunk after leaving her sober living home after her husband, Kevin Hunter's mistress, Sharina Hudson, gave birth to their child. This is a report. I don't know if it's legit or not.
Right.
But the reports say that he came clean to her about the affair and that now she's deciding how to proceed. They've been married for 22 years and share a son. They were photographed together in New York City on Wednesday afternoon, and Williams was wearing her wedding ring just days after being photographed without it.
Huh.
Following these reports, Williams is set to take another break from her show, apparently.
So did she go back into rehab because this affair, this thing, this kid? Was that what exacerbated the issue, or was she already in rehab and found out about this?
No, I don't know. I'm not really sure.
What came first, the rehab or the egg?
I know she says she's continued to have a substance issue for a long time, but I don't know what precipitated this particular check-in. So this is after, she says she's going to take a break from the show. This is after returning just weeks ago on March 4th, following a two-month break to deal with chronic Graves' disease. The show is taking previously scheduled spring break hiatus and airing repeat episodes until the week of April 1st. The show will return to original episodes on April 8th, according to a rep. So we'll see.
The thing is, Preston, if you watch the show, and I know you do, you would never believe any of this because she looks fab.
She's glammed.
She looks glam
all the time.
Glam. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. It's hard to believe that someone that glamorous.
Yeah, that can glamorous have can yeah. have issues.
I call her Glam's Casino.
Glam's Casino.
Good. That was good.
Thank you. I appreciate that.
Up that off.
I really appreciate that. It means a lot to me.
I call her Glam Chowder. Keep going, Press.
Okay. Fried glam.
I should have stopped at the first one.
Yeah. No, I shouldn't have. I got more.
The next one. You do?
Of course.
Go ahead.
No.
We have to do a stand-up night with Casey.
I know.
We have to.
We gotta.
Even if you bomb on
years
every,
in the making.
What do you mean, even if I bomb? I will bomb. There is no doubt about it.
But everything that comes out of your mouth, if it bombs, I think that would just be It's so much better.
I'm going to move on to the next story now. Chris Evans covers the Hollywood Reporter's latest issue, and inside he opens up about a whole bunch of stuff. He talks about love.
He talks about love?
He does.
Is Chris Evans attached to anybody right now?
No, he's not. Why has he been a bachelor for so long is the question. He
said, I'm gay.
No, he didn't say I'm gay.
He's a twink. Which, by the way, Casey said gay community says it's okay to say
it's
twink.
Okay. Okay. All right. It's like a clearance.
And one of the sources was, quote, I'm a flaming homo.
Okay. No, raging. I saw it.
Raging? Oh,
raging. Okay. Yeah. No,
actually, and we do have a lot of gay listeners, so I'm going to take that on faith.
I was talking about myself.
Yeah, okay. Oh, by the way, I'm a real flaming homo.
Okay, so Chris Evans is a twink.
Is that clean?
Oh, damn it.
This morning. Was that?
Was it clean? Was what he said clean?
I think I spoke over him. So,
can
Chris.
Can you say ball sex or yummy?
Chris said about being a bachelor, he said, I'm the one who fears being enveloped. I was always a really autonomous guy my whole life, and camping by myself is one of my favorite things. I really like to be with someone who also has their own thing to do as well, you know? If I'm with someone who just kind of adopts my life, that can feel a bit suffocating.
May I translate this for you?
Sure.
I am so hot. Yeah. I don't need to tie myself down to anybody.
But he likes to be alone.
In the woods with the bears.
He has been in relationships, having been in a long-term one with Jessica Biel and Jenny Slate. On Captain America. Will he be hanging up his suit after the release of Avengers Endgame? It says here, will he be hanging up his cape? Captain America does not wear a cape, you idiot.
Who?
Even I know that.
Writes this?
Even Kathy knows
Come
this.
Come on.
I have him right here, right next to me. There's no cape.
Nothing. But he says, momentum is a real fallacy, in my opinion.
Yes, of course, whatever that nonsense means.
He says, but it has a really strong hold on a lot of actors' mentalities. He said, you really believe that while the ball's rolling, you got to keep it rolling. I could be wrong, but to me, I just don't believe in that, and I don't think that's real. Yes?
Got an email yesterday that after I read it, I was like, you know what? Can I please get put into a medically induced coma for the next month because the screening for Avengers is going to be on April 23rd, and I'm like, I can't wait. You know, so if I go to sleep now, I'll just wake up.
Oh,
okay. You know what I mean?
So you just simply want to be put in a medically induced coma until you get there. Okay. The screening's on April 23rd?
Yes.
All right. I just want to be put into a medically induced coma. That's it.
It sounds like fun. By the way, in case you did not know this is pretty interesting. Evans made $15 million for the past two Avengers films. For his first, in the first,
yeah, yeah.
Do you know what he made?
Yeah.
Under a mil?
Yeah, he made $300,000. And for, you know, what has turned into a huge franchise, that is absolute chump change for the title role.
So he's in the Fantastic Four, a couple of movies that they did.
Yep.
It was good.
Yeah, it's
a... then the first Captain America movie, which I love. And, you know, that you got to remember way back then when they were parsing out what was happening. And then two of the most stellar Marvel movies ever, Civil War and Winter Soldier.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and to circle around the Captain America character was a stroke of genius.
Yep. I love him as Captain America. I think he's great. I think he does the role justice. I don't think I've seen him in anything else. I never saw those Fantastic Four movies.
You know what you want to check it out? It's kind of funny to see is Not Another Teen Movie.
Okay.
He's the egotistical football quarterback who falls in love with the plain girl.
All right. I never saw Scott Pilgrim either.
Nick. Oh, yeah.
He's great.
Yeah.
He's very funny.
Nick, that is such a great movie.
Okay.
I love it. But what you want to watch if you want to see his dramatic chops is Gifted.
Okay.
It's about his niece who is a little girl who is a mathematical genius, and it's a really it's a great storyline. And he's really good.
And
Jenny Slate's in it, too. And what?
The Iceman.
Oh, my God.
Yeah.
That's a messed up movie. Yeah, big time. He's really good in it. All right. So, anyhow, on getting political, because he was opening up about a bunch of stuff, he stumped for Hillary Clinton in 2016, and they asked if he had any regrets. He said, you don't want to alienate half your audience, but I'd be disappointed in myself if I didn't speak up, especially for fear of some monetary repercussion or career damage. That just feels really gross to me, he says. And on drugs, he says, he's cut back. He said, you know, I've chilled out on weed. I used to love it, but now I think it's the one thing that gets in my way. It zaps your motivation. I think apathy kind of bleeds in, and you start to think, well, I'm not apathetic. I just don't feel like doing that. And it's like, no, you would feel like doing that if you weren't stoned. And, you know, I'm 37 and I can't be smoking weed all the time. That's crazy. So, interesting article on him in the Hollywood Reporter. He is on the cover. Let's see what else I have for you. I got a bunch of Steve, this one I thought specifically of you this morning.
I appreciate this. Unless it's horrible news.
No. Okay. It's pretty cool. Surviving BG, Barry Gibb was allegedly photographed leaving a Miami Beach novelty sex shop.
Yeah! I'll take it.
The Sun posted photos of the 72-year-old recently knighted songwriter leaving Sensations Video.
Nice!
According to the item, inside Sensations Video, which sells lube and magazines, there are also viewing booths where customers can watch porn movies if they want to. Aside from skin flicks and raunchy magazines, shop also has racks full of sex toys, flavored gels, and a selection of condoms.
So how much was he coming out with?
Oh, they didn't say.
Okay.
Despite the many high-end sex shops scattered through Miami, Video Sensations cannot be described as being renowned, given that it has earned just one star and scathing reviews on customers from customers on Yelp. Barry's representatives are said to have declined any comment when approached for that. So,
About at that age? That's what Barry still gives. Going and buying his butt plugs in person.
Sure, why not?
It's cold.
He's a rich man. He can have somebody go do it for him. Let's see. An armed intruder was arrested at Natalie Portman's home. And police received an emergency call Tuesday afternoon. The LAPD found the man and arrested him, and he's reportedly the same dude that she has had a permanent restraining order against.
But he was armed this time, right?
He was
not armed the other times.
Well, I don't know if he was.
Yeah, I don't think he was.
But it says armed. I don't know what that means. That means a knife or a gun or what.
Jeez.
So since she has a permanent restraining order against him, this time I would imagine
he goes to jail.
They're going to put this guy away for a while. So we'll see what ends up happening. Hey, Marcia Cross, we were talking about her the other day. It was her birthday recently. She is feeling like herself again a year and a half after being diagnosed with anal cancer.
I didn't know that.
And now the Desperate Housewives alum is discussing why she has opened up about her diagnosis. She tells people, I want to help put a dent in the stigma around anal cancer. I've read a lot of cancer survivor stories, and many people, women especially, were too embarrassed to say what kind of cancer they had. There's a lot of shame about it, and I want to stop that. Her treatment included radiation, but not surgery. She said surgery was not recommended, which was a relief. She said you want to preserve sphincter muscles if possible. Having woken up to its importance, I am now a big fan of the anus, she says.
We're all big fans of the anus. So what's her prognosis right now?
She's been in remission for about a year.
Okay.
So it's good.
Well, that's what killed Farrah Fawcett.
Yes, correct.
And according to my mom.
Why?
From too much butt sex.
Butt sex. Yeah.
I bet you there's some. I mean, honestly, I bet you there's something to that.
Are you agreeing with my mom?
No.
Let's not
spread that. Please.
If you think there's a virus, look at what happens with oral
cancer
and things that are related to that. It's not out of the realm of possibility.
I don't know. I've never really seen any correlations scientifically, so we can look that up. Other than Kathy's mom,
she did an extensive work.
Yes.
Nick, do a search on does anal sex cause anal cancer.
Go to Pornhub. They're the authority.
Yeah, exactly.
Check their medical section.
Mm-hmm. While he's looking that up, on Tuesday, Keanu Reeves was among the many passengers to experience some type of flight issue en route to San Francisco. And the plane he was on was forced to land in Bakersfield, which is about 100 miles from L.A. The 54-year-old leaped into action, telling them that it would take 3 hours for baggage handlers to arrive and deal with the plane, but that a van could be there in an hour and take them to L.A.
Hmm.
And many opted to abandon their bags in favor of a ride from Reeves. Now, I don't know if he paid for it or what, but he just brought the idea up.
That's pretty cool.
The fun was widely documented on social media, apparently. So here we go. This is according to a website. I don't see the source.
It says yahoo.com.
It says the most common risk factor for anal cancer is being infected with the human papillomavirus, and it's a sexually transmitted virus that also causes warts in and around the anus or genitals in both men and women. But anal cancer can occur without the presence of warts. So
yes and no.
So no, that means that's a risk.
Mm-hmm.
It doesn't necessarily mean it straight up causes it.
Right.
But
in moderation, right?
Papilloma virus can do that. And you know, Dr. Mike has mentioned that to us a few times.
Yes, right.
About the human papilloma, mainly about
HPV.
Oral.
Yeah,
you know? Yeah, exactly.
Let me see. Okay, this is interesting. Tom Cruise and Nicole Kidman's daughter Isabella is opening up about Scientology a little bit.
And,
yeah, I was reading a little bit about this.
She wrote a testimonial about her training in the church to other members. She wrote, "This is what I had been searching for, the missing piece. Suddenly, everything began to make sense," she wrote. "Thank you to my dad for everything," she says, while also thanking her aunt, the actor's sister, Cass Maypother. She said, "I would have drowned in my own problems if you hadn't been there to sup me or get me through the preliminaries.
Help me.
What's up with you?
It took my whole family and an org to get me here," she says.
You know that she actually
she drank the Kool-Aid.
Training to be an auditor.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah.
Oh,
so they've got her hooked up to the pretend machine there.
Yeah, I think once you, I don't know if she's in the Sea Org or not, but a lot of those Sea Org members become auditors as part of what you do.
If they rise up far enough as a Sea Org, Preston, they will eventually go into a room and be interviewed by Aquaman.
Oh, my God.
Yeah. And then they go to that
I might consider
that's pretty cool.
The church.
You get your own enormous seahorse.
Aquaman.
Yeah.
What was the last name you said, Maypother? That's Tom's real last name, but I didn't know. Did she take that as her last name?
No, that is her aunt, which is Cass Maypother is Tom's sister.
Gotcha. Okay.
Yeah. So she thanked her in that particular article. And then we'll do one last thing. I'm going to give you a choice.
Do it.
Khloe Kardashian.
Oh, no.
Kate Beckinsale.
Mm-hmm.
Or Priyanka Chopra.
Beckinsale is going to be about Pete Davidson.
Yep.
Priyanka Chopra is going to be about the Jonas thing.
Nope.
All right. I'm intrigued. Priyanka.
Okay. All right. Priyanka Chopra. She's teaming up with YouTube on a special dubbed If I Could Tell You Just One Thing. And it launched Wednesday on her YouTube.
I'm married to a Jonas.
Yes. That's all I'm going to tell you. That's all you need to know.
That's all you need to know. Next.
By the way, her YouTube channel has 1 million subscribers. In the series, she interviews Awkwafina, Simone Biles, and Diane von Furstenberg.
The designer.
And asks them for one actionable piece of advice that she can use in her own life.
She has 1 million subscribers for that?
Yeah, yeah. She says, "I guess getting married really made me think about what the next chapter is."
Awkwafina, you're so interesting. Tell me what I can do to be a better person.
Yeah, don't tell me. I would say speak to the audience.
Yeah.
I
don't care about them.
I think it's maybe what it's supposed to mean.
She's in other words, Priyanka becomes us.
Yes.
She's the conduit.
Priyanka. Priyanka is married to Nick Jonas. Pavanka.
Who cares?
Spelanka.
Villanova.
Yeah, Villanova. All right, let's do clips.
Yeah.
What the hell?
Why not, man?
All right, we're going to begin with this one. Abby's follows a cranky bartender and her circle of regulars. And in this clip, Natalie Morales shares the ins and outs of the plot. Here we go.
It's a really fun show about your group of friends hanging out at a bar. It's an illegal backyard bar in San Diego. And it's just about, like, it just feels like home when you watch it, I think. It feels like you're hanging out with your friends, which to me is what makes every good comedy good.
I wonder, watching the coming attractions for the show and seeing interviews about it, the people that I've heard talking about it seem to suggest that this illegal backyard bar phenomenon is a thing. That there's...
Oh,
have
really?
You ever heard of this?
No.
So this woman in the series actually has a set-up bar in her backyard and is selling alcohol.
There's too many real bars for me to care.
Right.
That there's a backyard bar.
So, like, why would this be a thing when there's a bar virtually on every corner?
I don't know. I have no idea. Maybe it's maybe out in the boonies.
Maybe.
I don't know. So, Abby's debuts tonight, 9:30. That's on NBC. Let's do the next clip. Will and Grace was revived 11 years ago after, or not 11 years ago, 11 years after the original ended. In this clip, Deborah Messing talks about why the show is still funny and works well 20 years later.
The thing that made Will & Grace very specific was that it was provocative from the get-go. It addressed what was happening in pop culture, in politics, and really pushed the boundaries. And I think because that was in the DNA of the show, coming back, everyone knew the voice of the show, everyone knew the characters, and so we didn't have to ask permission, we didn't have to apologize. They were like, oh, they're just doing what they always did.
Up, huh? Does anybody else find Megan Mullally really hot in those Slinger commercials?
Mm-hmm. Oh, I think she's really hot. Mm-hmm. Yeah, and she's got a great bod.
She does.
She's milfy.
And obviously they're playing off the swinger thing.
Yeah.
And she's really sexy.
Yeah.
Deborah Messing, Will & Grace, air. It's tonight, NBC, at 9 o'clock. So there you go. That's the clip. And that's the last one that I have for you. And that is your entertainment report for the morning. We have a lot going on today. We got our Daily Rush matchups for Daily Rush Madness. And we're going to be finishing the first round today.
How cool. So
finally. Yeah, exactly. And when we return, we have the three members of Double Dare here this morning.
It's astonishing that they would come back.
Yeah, Double Dare Live is tonight and tomorrow at the Miriam Theater. We will have Mark and Robin and Harvey all together again here in our studio. In fact, they are in our green room
as
we speak. And we might even have some VIP tickets.
Is that right?
Mm-hmm. So let's take a break. Come back in a second. We'll get into that, more other guests and other things to get to today on the Preston and Steve Show. Stay with us.
Preston and Steve on 93.3 WMMR.
Before we get to our guests, how about we do this?
It's time for Preston and Steve's Daily Rush Madness!
Our Daily Rush videos are battling against each other to find out which one is your all-time favorite as we're doing Daily Rush Madness. And if you want to see how the brackets have advanced as of yesterday's voting, you can go to PrestonandSteve.com or WMMR.com. It's all filled out right there. But we have another matchup. This is from the Privileged Region. And the two videos that we're facing off against each other are a number 5 seed, Bill Weston Says the Darndest Things.
He sure does.
Against Hay Lauer.
Oh, wow.
And Hay Lauer is it's our version of Alexa. Yeah. Instead, it's Gary Lauer who is your voice of that. So I'll play a short clip of each one just to remind you, and then you can go vote for them at WMMR.com. Here is part of Bill Weston Says the Darndest Things.
I mean, it's really the same thing.
Shut up.
Catherine Mono needs to shut her pie hole.
I was just playing the Bill character.
Oh. Then I retract that. That was spot on, Kathy Romano.
You're not speaking the right way, though.
Oh, that's right. Look. It's kind of the same thing, Preston.
There you go.
Just call it something different.
Kudos, Kathy Romano.
Kathy doing her Bill Weston impression. I love it. And then this one is Hay Lauer. Let's check that out. Just a little clip of it.
Hay Lauer, play Allman Brothers.
All right, you can watch the entire video.
It's a low-end service.
And place your vote at WMMR.com. And you never know. While you're there, you may as well sign up for your at least 21 years of age. You might win Punchline, Philadelphia Comedy Club, Restaurant, and Bar. They are giving us tickets for every single show for the rest of the year for one winner.
It's a hell of a lot of shows.
And you can register. You can get signed up for that once per day. So when you go back and vote each day, make sure you sign up for that as well. But we want to find out. And we're going to wrap up the full round one. All those matchups are going to be wrapping up today, and then we'll step into the second round.
Should be wild.
Cool. All right. A lot of excitement about what is taking place at the Miriam Theater tonight and tomorrow night. Excited that this is happening. Double Dare Live is going to be going on, folks. And we got everybody.
Yeah.
We got the whole crew here in our studio. Ladies and gentlemen, our good friends, Mark and Harvey and Robin are right here.
Yeah.
From Double Dare. Good morning, guys. Morning.
Back together again.
So great to see you. Now, we were reminiscing about the fact that the three of you last time, now I saw you at Dunkle Dare a couple of years back, but the last time the three of you were in this studio was when
somebody was drunk.
Dunkle Dare.
Yeah.
You got
it wasn't me because I've been sober 30 years. So who was it?
You got a full brown eye from Casey on that particular day.
I mean, total, like proctological.
Uh-huh. We remember.
And we're surprised you guys came back today, to be honest.
I had to be here. Are you kidding me? You know, I always love to listen to the topics that you ladies and gentlemen discuss before we walk in.
Mm-hmm.
And the best lead-in for this ever Anal sex. Thank you so much.
Certainly.
Yes.
Yes. Anal cancer. Anal sex.
Yeah. Wow. Thank you so much.
Wow. But you know, it turned out I was correct. You know, what we learned honestly is that sex is a filthy thing.
Yeah.
And you shouldn't do it because it's really dangerous.
Yeah. That's what I've heard.
And we learn that more and more. The show progresses, and we really learn how disgusting it is.
Let's talk about America's favorite kid show.
Well, you know what? I wanted to ask you a quick question because as you've morphed now into. You know, you push the boundaries now more you can. You're dealing with, you know, adults who are nostalgically coming back to revisit a show that they grew up and loved so much. So there's saucier elements entered into it. Who's
saucy?
Yeah. Yes. Who's the big proponent of going a little bit more blue, as they used to say in the Buddy Hackett days?
That would be me.
That would be Mark.
I
mean, it's basically but here's the thing. Like the other day, we opened in Lancaster the other night. Okay,
right.
And we were doing
big
the
big Mennonite crowd.
There you go. Yeah. I mean, the buggy, deal was fantastic.
The buggy ballet was making.
I made so much money parking those things. It was fantastic. And the problem was they walked in and saw electricity and they ran the hell out of the
damn
bus.
It.
But you know, anyway,
who's going to tell the kid from California it's pronounced Lancaster?
Oh, I know. But you guys, you know, we're going to get into that Wooter and Fune. Come on. Nonetheless.
I don't have an accent.
No, not at all. But we're doing the obstacle course, and Robin is out there telling them where they should go. And the first one is Sunday Slide. I said, the next one is Pickett. Who's going to do it? And the little boy of 11 years old goes, and the father literally pushes the kid out of the way. He goes, Pickett? No, I'm doing that one, man. It happens on the show all the time. The parents just forget they have children.
Yeah, and become kids again. Themselves.
We've gotten to know Mark over the years, and he has a little bit of a dirty sense of humor sometimes.
No.
Has he always been like that?
Yes.
Okay.
No hesitation.
Yes. That's all.
Yeah, I was thinking, we started the show in 86, right? And if, like, sexual harassment and actionable and being in court...
I would own Nickelodeon.
Robin would be the owner of Viacom, Inc.
You know, it's funny you should say that, because we talk about that. The stuff that actually comes in as show prep for us would get an HR letter from any other occupation. Yeah. But it is, it's what we dabble in. It's what our... It's what we're supposed to do.
We were innocent then.
Yeah, we used to test physical challenges from 6 till like 9 o'clock at night with kids from the local community. And if it didn't work 3 times, we wouldn't put it on the show. But, you know, you got a bunch of, you know, 30 or 40-somethings at the time. They've been working, doing 6 shows a day for so many weeks. And everything became sexual, no matter what. You know, put the ball in the thing. That's hysterical, you know. It's an ejaculation thing, you know. Everything becomes sexual after a while.
Yeah.
Wait a sec. What are the two words I say most to you on stage right now? Stop it. Stop it now.
We got 2 people on stage last night. I do this whole competition where we have 2 grown-ups against 2 kids. And I said, what's your name? It was 2 grown-ups. Peter, what's your name? Peter. I said, oh, we have a couple of Peters on stage. I'm not saying anything else, you know? And Robin looks at me all day long.
Stop now.
Well, see, it's good to have that because, for Kathy serves at least to some degree, though she's filthy in her own right.
Yes.
Kathy, we'll talk.
But she helps buffer. She lets me sort of.
What did you just do there? Wait, what was that hand gesture?
What?
She helps buffer. What is that?
Yeah, but she helps me manually stimulate myself. No, she helps create a barrier.
We use the word buffer.
Yeah, buffer instead of, yeah. And so that it gives a nice balance. So Robin is
Robin is
a saint.
Yeah.
Robin's the same.
Keep in mind, I've been married to the same one 45 years, but Robin's
been
my TV wife for 32 years.
Right.
She knows everything about me. I know everything about her.
There's a level, it's
and
a funny relationship.
She tells it all to me.
There's a funny relationship that occurs like this, like with our show, or it is, for a while there, you know, when we were trying to get the show off and running, and I'm sure it's the same thing with you guys, you spend so much time together that you're spending more time with your coworkers than you are with your family.
I feel like if I don't tell them something, I feel like I'm lying to them.
Oh, yeah.
Like if there's something in my life they don't know about, I'm like, I have to tell them or else they're going to think I'm lying to them.
And here's the best. We really like each other off camera.
Yeah.
Like
we
go to dinner, we
hang
out.
It.
And people say all the time, oh my gosh, you guys are so, I mean, this is what we're like off camera. Yeah. I mean, I hate him. But we have a really good
He's an insufferable prick.
He's an ass, but I love that. Yeah.
That sounds like us.
It sounds just like us.
And how long have you guys been together?
So Casey and Steve and I have been together for over 20 years, and then Kathy came on board about 16 years ago, something like that. And Nick, shortly after that as well. Yeah.
Because it's interesting to hear you talk about, like, in the beginning when you're, like, figuring out, you know, your roles and what each. And now, I mean, and for years and years, you just don't think about it.
No. Like,
you talk, he talks, she talks. You don't have to think about it or plan it. It's just you guys being yourself. And if you didn't have a relationship, it would sound like crap out there. It would be awful.
To that point, John.
Which is like most shows.
John, when you guys were here.
Wait, what did he call me?
John. He called John. Harvey. I even caught it. He called you John.
It's Harvey.
Oh, my God. Oh, my
Harvey the announcer.
His first name is John, right?
Yeah, but nobody's allowed to call me that.
His wife doesn't even call me.
So, yeah. So when you guys had the Philadelphia component and then it moves down to Orlando.
Yes. Yeah.
Was there anybody in either of you saying, do I want to make that jump, or was it, you know?
Oh my gosh, best job in TV.
Yeah,
go to Alaska with these two. Yeah.
Okay, all right. Was that another location?
When we shot in Florida, I still did my morning radio. I was on the radio still, so I did my morning show from Florida, from Orlando, so I'd get up at like 4:30, do the show, and then get in a car at 9 o'clock, drive to Universal Studios, work there until 6, 7, 8 at night. And for a month, at the end of the month, I was just a piece of meat. But for the month, it was the greatest.
You were a piece of meat the whole month.
Oh, thank you,
Rob. What's going on over there?
It was so much fun.
Well, I mean, I want to know what changes have happened over the last 30 years and the dynamic between you guys and the contestants, especially the kids. Is it the same? Does it feel the same as it was 30 years ago? Or do you think that the interactions, especially with the kids, has changed?
Okay, first of all. We've stayed friends. I didn't know Robin. I didn't know Harvey. I always tell the story and Robin gets upset with me. But we did the first five shows and realized that I didn't have an assistant on stage to bring physical challenges out. We were finding our way. So we needed somebody to help. And Robin was – you were answering phones.
I was right out of college.
Yeah, right out of college.
Wow.
But we would do physical challenge practices. And she got a scholarship for 4 years playing women's basketball. And she was a lady jock. So we would be throwing eggs and she would be one-handing them, okay, like better than the guys. So they said, you know that girl who is able to catch the eggs? The girl with the big jersey hair? Why don't we get her? Her hair had her own zip code, okay? It was massive. But anyway, so she started over there, and Harvey had just been laid off from which station?
I got fired from IOQ, my first station, and I was I hadn't gone to MGK yet. So I was, 14 years, I guess, at IOQ, and I'd been fired. I was just devastated. And somebody called and said, there's a kids' game show coming into town. They need an announcer. Do you want to audition? And I guess I did something on a cassette. And they hired me just as the announcer, which was like off camera, not seen, just like, it's a new computer or whatever.
And Harvey, I didn't realize this till after we were friends for a few years, that apparently I could be aggressive, and I'm coming out from Los Angeles, and I'm going to Philadelphia and do television. Oh my God, what's this going to be like?
Mr. Summers is here. Chop, chop, everybody.
Yes. So I meet Harvey, and I don't know anything about Harvey. He was this fired radio guy. They told me, that's a great introduction. And he was the number one morning man for 14 years, but he got fired. Well, wait a minute. If you're number one morning man, why'd you get fired? Okay. So he comes in. And
so I wasn't number one anymore.
So Harvey was rather shy, as he tends to be. And I said, hey, Nicaea, we're going to need you to do the warm-ups. Let me tell you about how to do. So apparently I explained to Harvey how to do audience warm-ups. Right.
And he walked away. And the announce, too. I mean, they introduced me, and I meet him for the first time in the studio. He goes, nice to meet you. I've done warm-ups. I've done announcing. I've done everything. I'll tell you all you need to know how you do it. And it's like, oh, this is going to be really fun.
Wow. This guy's a dickhead. but I mean that you listen. That is, you're coming from an area associated, obviously, with a lot of television. You're coming here, and there's you don't know what the deal is, and so at that point, it's funny though, hearing you guys talk about from what you finish your one gig and you go to the second gig and everything. And we were talking about there were times when we were trying to get this show up and running where you'd go to work in the dark and come home in the dark.
Oh yeah,
and you would just piecemeal stuff together and you keep doing it. When was the moment for each of you when it finally clicked that this thing had teeth? Well, it was going to go.
I know mine.
What's that?
When they showed me the layout of the show, I never thought it was going to go.
Not from day one.
I was like, what are we doing?
Yeah.
Okay, but you know what? First job out of college, We go to the set. It's the first show. And I'll never forget it. I turned to the stage manager. I said, this is going to be huge. It was like a birthday party.
Yeah.
That's all I could attribute it to.
Right,
what about
you, Harvey?
I remember for me when they described the show, I was a little squeamish, honestly, because, you know, I like to think of myself of having some sort of scruples and moral compass.
Well, and you problem. Found out you don't.
And I didn't want to end up doing Maury Povich, right? In 35 years,
I Connie Chung, by the
I never had to do Maury Povich or its equivalent, right?
I
hear they're doing a game show with kids, and it's like, oh, God, this is going to be like, you know, housewives and kids and greedy and avaricious, and it's going to be like preying on these little, you know, I saw like three or four shows, and I went, oh, my God, it has nothing to do with the prizes. They just want to jump into the crap.
Yes.
They could give a crap about what they win. They just want to play the game.
Yep.
And I went, this is so clean and so fun. And that's when I was totally on board. And then after it aired, you know, by the end of the first week, it became apparent, oh, man, we even have some ratings. This is actually going to happen.
Was that it for you, Mark, as well?
A turning point for me was, you know, I was 34 years old, and I had more bombs than, you know, Hiroshima behind me. And,
well, just one big one.
Yeah, right. And I always figured you'd go into the studio, you'd do 13 weeks of shows, and you'd go home, and you'd never do it again. That was my theory. But when I got a call from the Today Show that Brian Gumbel wanted to interview me, I thought, well, we must be making something happen because I've never been on the Today Show. Why do they want me on? And Nickelodeon sent me to, you know, one of those schools to learn how to react and talk and, you know, all
did
that kind
really?
Of stuff. Oh, yeah.
Oh, you know? So you've been doing a show where you're interacting on camera on a daily basis, and they're going to teach you how to talk on camera.
Yeah, exactly. Because they were scared. Because you remember, Brian was, you know, pretty intense.
What was he going to rip the lid off on? Slime?
Well, you know, here's what he did. You know, at the time, I was not allowed to tell anybody that I was married and had kids. Because they went to focus groups, and they thought I was like a crazy uncle or a bigger brother.
Okay.
And they felt that if they knew I had kids and was married, they wouldn't like to watch me.
Wow.
So Brian's
they tried to
first
do that to John Lennon and McCartney, too.
Yeah. Yeah. Really? Yeah.
John Lennon and McCartney were married.
Oh,
they wouldn't let Lennon talk about his wife.
I didn't know that.
Yeah.
So Brian is told this, you know, please do not talk about Mark's personal life. And his opening line is, Mark Summers is a host of this new game show. And, of course, let's start off by telling you, we know you're married and have two kids. Opening line. And I said, well, you don't know that. And the turning point of that interview was he was attacking me the whole time. Are we teaching kids that they're being judged by what they have as opposed to who they are? And he was getting really serious.
What an ass.
And I said to him, you know, I don't think the kids really care one way or another. And he said to me, do your kids think you're special now that you're doing this show? And I said, I was hoping that my kids thought I was special long before this thing ever started.
Yeah.
And he took his pen, put it down, and the director came out to me and the producer and said, you got him at that point. And it turned out to be a good interview. But
why would you go? That's such a dumb. I'm
going
to rip the lid off this kid's game show host.
I know.
What a dummy.
You know why? Because instead of wanting to have a conversation and make it an interesting segment, it was like, how can I showcase myself in this particular moment?
Oh, Brian Gumbel has an ego?
Yeah.
And then, you know, after being home and the show was on for 4 weeks, people started to recognize me. That was weird. And
that's wild.
This was the weirdest thing. So the show was on for a year, and we found out that the real estate people in the area we were living in were selling homes based on the fact that Mark Summers from Double Dare lives over there. So I think I've told the story in the past, and I'll do the Cliff Notes version. But literally, I had an office on the second floor in our house, and a kid walks into my house, opens the door, don't know he's there, and I'm sitting there at my computer, and I said, hello? And he goes, Mark Summers. I said, yes. He said, from Double Dare. I said, yeah, how'd you get in the house? I just opened the door. And we moved to a gated community because all of a sudden people were walking into my house, you know?
That kid's around here somewhere.
Kid is Jesse.
Jesse Cute?
Yes.
We read the article about him.
Best article ever.
Jesse Cute is a guy that we've had a relationship with for a long time.
20 years.
He's involved with movies. What companies are
we working with? Well, he's with Allied Advertising.
And so Jesse comes by, does promotional events for films that are opening and screenings and things like that. And there is an article in the Inquirer about him being the biggest Double Dare fan ever. I haven't read the whole thing yet.
The greatest article.
Yeah?
It was one of the best I've ever read. Really, I mean that.
You got to get nearly to the end before I'm mentioned. That's all I'm saying.
Hey, wait a minute. Hold on. Nick, you're looking at the text messages too. Harvey, you are still very well loved in the city.
There's a ton
of people that are texting in about Harvey in the morning and how great this is to hear you. So
here's the thing. To answer the question that you asked 15 minutes ago, we all are friends. You know, Robin and I talk on a regular basis. Harvey and I have gone through work things, family things, divorces, bar mitzvahs, weddings. I mean, and we're true friends for 32 freaking years. And I think when we get back on stage, when we were doing Dunkle Dare, just play that clip for me.
Steve, do you have that?
Oh, no.
Mark was laying down the law telling people not to talk or shout out answers, and he said this.
Shut the f*** up!
Yeah. You won't see that at the Miriam tonight, Friday, but nonetheless, we would get together, not having seen each other for, you know, a long period of time, and we just pick it up right away.
Getting back to what I was asking before, have the kids changed at all?
Yeah.
They have mustaches.
Well, no, the kids are adults now.
Yeah. Well, you know what it is? These terrible social media things have changed the world.
That's what I'm wondering.
Yeah, and the point of reference is entirely different. You know, I don't know anything about Fortnite. I don't care about Fortnite. That's all they want to do is talk about Fortnite, you know. So there's a divide, and I still try to make it a little bit old school because I'm going to tell you 60% of the people who come to the show are grown-ups.
Yeah, I believe it. You know, another thing that I believe, I think that Double Dare is almost like a mythical thing in that – In the way of Woodstock. I think that there are people that say that they were on that show
that really weren't on that show. I think you're right, Preston.
And it's because...
Because everyone claims to have been on the show.
Yeah. I think they may have lied themselves into believing that they really were there.
Out of sheer desire to have been on it, they just make it, they will it to be. Uh-huh. I have to ask you, the Goldbergs episode, the Double Dare,
airs,
and we love it. It's hilarious right down to the end where Barry's running through the chorus.
Yep.
And he says, the auditions for the show have already occurred. And he goes, what show? But how many people are just from off that are now investigating what Double Dare is?
Well, that's it. The resurgence kind of happened in certain periods of time. And certainly that did not hurt at all. Yeah. That was fantastic. And it never seems to go away for whatever reason.
Yeah. I tell you, when I realized that it was actually a cultural thing, it just floating out there in the whole zeitgeist thing. It was a damn question on Jeopardy a few weeks ago.
Yeah.
Really?
Yes.
Really?
It was something about, it was like a rhyming
potent
category.
Potables.
And like something had to rhyme with slime.
Okay.
And of course, you know, Alex mispronounced it. He called it Double Dare. Yeah. But when it was on a Jeopardy question, I went, wow, it's a thing.
Yeah. Yep.
I remember Mad Magazine.
Yes.
That's an honor.
Did they caricature you in it, Robin?
Yes, they did.
Well,
the hair is an entire page.
Seriously?
Yeah.
The hair is something else.
You know, that's 23, 24, and 25.
Tell me you have that frame.
Oh, yeah.
I do. Absolutely. Yeah. Signed by the writer, Dick
DeBartolo.
William
Gaines and all those?
Oh, my God. Wow. When I heard that Mad Magazine was doing a parody, because, you know, I'm the sidekick.
Yeah.
It's like, you know, they could have easily done it all. It would have been Mark, and, you know, I could have not even appeared. I thought, oh, God, please, just let me be caricatured once. Just let me see my big bald head just once. And he put me throughout the thing hardly. Mux Lummers and hardly.
Yeah.
And oh, my God. And then there were Robin and Dave, and they were just glowering down in the corner, you know, yelling at the kids. It was just,
Robin was thrown aside again. We'll talk
about that. And I always talk about, you know, the Bruno Marses and the, you know, Lin-Manuel Mirandas, all those people who grew up watching it who are big stars now. And so that I'm always sort of flattered and shocked when those folks come and go, yeah, I grew up watching
this. This is pretty freaking awesome.
On the current version, there's been a few, or has it been? No, it's been the TV show, like Jason Sudeikis and Tiffany Haddish. I mean, some really big names.
We had both them on, and Jason Sudeikis, I take pictures during the entire thing, and I said, do you want me to send this to your publicist? No, here's my number. Just, you know. So now I'm, you know, texting with Jason Sudeikis.
Well, you know who you now then tacitly have a connection through to is Olivia Wilde.
Yeah, there you go. Yeah, nothing wrong with that,
nothing
right?
wrong with that.
And, there we are. Tiffany Haddish was hysterical. She lost and got upset and started taking the set apart and walking off with it, which was very funny.
Speaking of getting upset, I've got a text that's sitting right here, and it says, hey, we have a friend to this day
that is still not willing to talk about the fact that he lost the obstacle course 30 years ago. And then they said, I am not exaggerating.
Really?
Yeah. Like, it really bothered this guy.
That's crazy. Well, let me talk a little bit. The show.
Yes. Tonight, by the way, Miriam Theater. Are there tickets remaining? Do you know?
We are sold out Friday.
Okay.
But little did we know when we booked this thing that it's opening day for the Phillies. So we're up against the Phillies. And I'm going to tell you, there are tickets for Thursday tonight's show.
Okay.
And we'd love to see you there. It is audience participation as we used to say on the show, up the yin yang.
Yeah.
And we.
It's a medical term.
That is. Yeah. And so we pick a lot of people from the audience and we do this whole adult versus kid. A lot of physical challenges in act one. We come back and do musical pies in the second part of the show. And then we pick members of the audience and play Double Dare and do an obstacle course where if you get all 8 obstacles in 60 seconds or less, we give you $1,000 cash. And it's just a heck of a lot of fun.
I don't know anyone who's gone to any iteration of this, you know, and not had a blast, you know. And even people who said they were newbies and had no idea what the show was about, go and enjoy it. So,
well, why don't we play a game right now?
We've
got tickets for the show. Marissa, are these for tonight? They're for tonight. They're for tomorrow night.
Oh, Jesus.
They're for a night.
Let me turn on our microphone.
We have a handful of tickets for tonight, and then we have 2 sets of VIP tickets for tomorrow night.
Ooh, okay. All right, so what we're going to do.
The answer is general purpose.
Yeah,
general purpose.
You like general purpose? What we need to do is get some callers on the line. All you're going to have to do is agree or disagree with the stars of Double Dare here in our studio, 215-263-WMMR. It's going to be really simple. We're going to ask you questions about the show, and you just give us your answer, and the caller will have to agree or disagree.
Okay.
And we have tickets to give away. I have 5 pairs for tonight, and then I have 2 VIP tickets for tomorrow night, which is really cool. And I wish I knew what all the VIP involved.
We come early, and we do pictures. Oh. And you get a little
blood test.
You get a T-shirt. Yeah. It says here as
you
well.
You get a little swag and all that kind of, and you get a lanyard and all that cool stuff.
So, Casey, I want you to randomly put the VIP tickets in there.
Shuffle the deck.
Okay.
I will shuffle.
And I only have 7 questions. So. Okay. We got to make sure we get winners.
It's based on a Mashable article about fun facts about Double Dare. Oh. So,
all right. We have Mark and Harvey and Robin here in our studio, and I'll go to a couple of calls. And Casey, if you can give me some music to kind of fill this out. What?
I thought we had other Double Dare tickets to give away.
We do, right here.
Okay. Yeah, that's what I was looking for.
Said we have,
yes.
We have 5 for tonight's show, and then we have 2 VIPs for tomorrow.
Okay. Luck of the draw.
So we'll put them in there randomly, but I need some. Thank you very much. Some contest music. All right, we'll go to our callers, and I have Jay on the line. Hey, Jay, good morning.
Gadzooks.
Gadzooks, bud. You ready to play?
Yeah.
All right, let's ask this question. Let's start off. We'll go left to right here. So we'll start with Harvey and ask this question. So one at a time.
All right.
By the way, one at a time. Our beloved Double Dare was actually inspired by what popular game? What is it? And this is multiple choice. Is it A, Candyland, B, Mousetrap, C, Chess, or D, Craps? What do you think, Harvey? Was it Candyland, Mousetrap, Chess, or Craps?
None of those are right.
Is Beat the Clock on that list?
None of those are right.
None of those are correct.
I was just going to say, I don't even know that.
No,
it's based on an article from Mashup. That was the preface. Yeah,
it was Beat the Clock.
And we have our first winner.
Well, of the 4 that I have here,
what do you think it
which
is?
One do you think makes the most sense?
Candyland.
Candyland, he says. Jay, do you agree or disagree with Harvey?
I'm going to go ahead and disagree.
That's correct. It's Mousetrap, you know, because of the whole. Now, whether that's true or not, it doesn't matter because we're going to give you tickets, Casey.
Yes. Okay.
What are we going to give them?
All right, so we have a pair of tickets for Double Dare Live. It is tonight. Kimmel Center presents Double Dare Live March 28th and 29th at the Merriam Theater. The messiest game show on TV is now the messiest game show on the road. All the slime-soaking, pie-plastering, and booger-busting will be hosted by the Double Dare legend himself. Legend,
ooh.
Mark Summers. Tickets and information at KimmelCenter.org.
All right, Jay, hang on. We'll get your information. This next one is for Mark, and we're going to get Ryan on the line. Hey, Ryan, good morning, sir.
Morning.
All right, Ryan, you're going to be playing with Mark Summers. Here is his question. What former Saturday Night Live cast member was originally offered the hosting job on Double Dare? Was it Chevy Chase, Joe Piscopo, Dana Carvey, or Terry Sweeney?
Okay, I'm telling you this fact, Dana Carvey.
All right, he says Dana Carvey. Do you agree or disagree, Ryan?
Agree.
That's a good call because that is.
How does he know this stuff?
Case, what are we going to give Ryan?
All right, Ryan, we're going to get you a pair of tickets for Double Dare Live. It is tonight.
All right.
And all the tickets and information are at KimmelCenter.org. That's Kimmel Center with K-I-M-M-E-L-S. I'm sorry.
I'm not
hard. We got this. We got this.
I got this. I can spell.
I got it.
K-I-M-M-E-L-C-E-N-T-E-R. So Kimmel is with two M's and one L. I just
center. Spell it right.
One T. One T.
Yeah. All right.
No S's.
Next on the line is Bob. Good morning, Bob.
Good morning.
Bob, you're lucky you get to play with Robin, all right?
Yeah, Bob. Let's do this, Bob.
All right. Here's the question for Robin. The Double Dare set in Orlando had this unique feature. Was it a 24-hour sushi chef, an on-premises urologist, its own sewage system, or robotic cameras?
Wow.
Yeah.
Want me to tell you, Robin?
I do.
Sewage system.
You know what?
What?
I was going to go, it's either C or D, obviously. C.
You're going to go with C, its own sewage system. And Bob, do you agree or disagree?
I'm going to agree.
You are correct. Yes. Yes.
So to that point, quickly.
Hang on.
What was it? Was it a whole, like, I assume drains in the floor and all
yeah,
that?
Yeah, that's okay. What they did. Because here, when he started WHYY, that was a big mess. How do you get rid of all that stuff?
Yeah.
And so they built it into the studios in Orlando.
Right, I remember it. I just didn't know it was built in.
What are we going to give Bob?
All right, Bob, for you, we have VIP tickets for Double Dare Live.
There you go.
Tomorrow night at the Merriam Theater. All the tickets and information are at KimmelCenter.org.
So they would, I guess there were drains in the floor.
Yes.
And it must have been slightly angled, I guess, and they would come and squeegee it all out.
Yeah, that's what we have at CBS when we shoot now.
Okay, makes sense. All right, our next caller is Stacy. Good morning, Stacy.
Good morning.
We are going to have Harvey play with you on this particular one. You ready? Sure. All right, here's...
Yes, I am, Chris.
She passed away on the way to work. I have that effect on women.
What, they just shut up?
They disappear.
Yeah. All right, so here we go. Harvey, what was the worst injury ever occurred by a contestant during a Double Dare taping? Was it A child broke an arm with bone poking through the skin? B, a child's head ripped off during the Sunday slide? C, all four of a child's appendages were ripped off during In One Ear? Or D, a child cut completely in half and parent rendered a quadriplegic during the Blue Plate special.
Oh, my God.
I'd like to go to Paul Lynn to block.
Hi there.
It is a kid broke his arm.
And the skin, the bone poking through the skin.
It's terrible.
You agree or disagree, Stacey?
I do agree.
Yeah, you're correct. Yeah.
And by the way, Robin was the one who helped that boy as I ran out of the studio.
Yeah, run out, and I'm stuck with
him. You and Kathy are very similar, because when I passed out on the show one time, Kathy ran down the hall to find out if she had an appearance that night.
I didn't really do that.
Kathy, I love you. We're together.
Wow. So what do we
that
have
is low.
For Stacy?
All right, for you, Stacy, we have a pair of tickets for Double Dare Live. It is tonight. So they have shows tonight and tomorrow night, and all the tickets and information are at KimmelCenter.org.
Nice. So, yeah, you had to help kind of patch that kid up real quick?
Well, you know what? We had a nurse, but for some reason the nurse wasn't on this. I mean, she was around.
Yeah.
And this kid looked up with the bone sticking out, broken arm. It was awful.
Yeah, from what I understand, it actually wasn't. He was just kind of stabilizing himself, not really in mid competition, right? He was like grabbing himself.
No, he was going from grabbing himself. That's another show.
He was grabbing his
chin. No, he was going from obstacle one to obstacle number two, and he slipped.
Oh.
But here's the thing: the parents lied on that thing because you have to sign the certificate.
Yeah,
and the kid had something called glass bones disease.
Oh no!
Yes, and so he should have never been on the show. So it didn't cost us anything because we caught the parents in a lie.
There you go. Wow.
Man. Yeah. All right. Let me go next to Lori. I think we have two more or three more. Lori, good morning.
Hi, good morning.
All right, Lori, up next is Mark. Are you ready to try this?
Yep.
Okay, good.
We're on a 6-second delay, apparently.
All right, so, Mark, here's your
She's
question.
In Iraq.
Here's your question. GAC, the rubbery, gooey substance meant to mimic slime, was secretly named as an inside joke after something very illegal. Mm. What was it? Was it A, snuff films, B, heroin, C, cocaine, or D, tax evasion?
That would be heroin.
He says heroin. Do you agree or disagree, Lori?
Trust
me. Do it. Say yes.
You agree?
Sure.
sure. Yeah.
That's correct. Yeah. Yeah.
Really?
Case, what are we going to give Laurie?
Well, I do have a pair of VIP tickets, and this is for tomorrow night, though. Laurie, are you available tomorrow night for VIP?
Hang on a second. I got to pull her back up on the line. Laurie, are you available tomorrow night to go VIP?
Yeah, that's perfect.
Awesome.
Right, cool.
Yeah,
you get to meet the gang and get a picture and a T-shirt and everything. So
I look forward to it, Laurie.
And as an aside, Gak was a storyline on the spinoff of the Goldbergs, Schooled, like a week or two ago.
Yeah, I love that show.
I
yeah.
actually like that. I can't stand the Goldbergs. I'm sorry, Adam. I know you were a fan. But I hate it, but I love Schooled.
Love you, Harvey, but I'm going to have to bitch slap you.
Yeah. Get in line, pal.
So you guys would refer to that as heroin?
No. No. Back in the day, we had a very interesting crew, and they were, you know, dabbling in substances that they probably shouldn't have as they were doing kid shows. And Nickelodeon came in and heard the word GAC, and they thought, well, that's a hysterical word. Let's put a product out called GAC.
Wow.
And they did, and then after the fact learned that it was street term for heroin.
Oh, I didn't know that.
Yeah,
it's so funny.
But it was just what the crew called all the mess and slop on the show. It's like, we got to clean up the GAC.
Yeah. Not knowing it was heroin.
I have a friend we called GAC, and it had nothing to do with heroin whatsoever.
Hilarious. Yeah. All right, let's do another one. We got two left. Our next caller up is Chris. Hi, Chris. Are you there?
One potato, two potatoes.
All right. Good for you. All right. So, Chris, you're going to be playing with Robin. Here is the question for Robin. Double Dare producers use this method to select new challenges. Was it A, accepted cash bribes from up-and-coming set designers? B, would allow non-contestants to test a challenge three times? C, worked closely with the Pentagon? Or D, use the simple edict, if it bleeds, it leads. That would be B, she says. And that is allow non-contestants to test challenge three times. You agree or disagree, Chris?
Agree.
That's a good call.
Way to go, Chris.
Absolutely. Yep.
So, just a quick question on that before the prize is real. Would be contestants that were already there for something?
No, we would bring.
I mean, non contestants, but just people in the audience?
No, no. A whole separate schools.
Okay.
Schools from Philly and Jersey area. And they would be dragged in for 3 hours at a time and test the various physical challenges.
Wow.
That's awesome. They loved it.
Yeah, I'm sure they did, yeah.
All right, we're going to one more, and it is Kyle who we have. Hey, Kyle, good morning.
Good morning.
All right, Kyle, playing along with the Double Dare gang, and we're going to end with Harvey in the morning for a question. According to a New York Times article on the show from 1987, the approximate amount of slime used on each episode of Double Dare was... A, 500 gallons, B, 30 gallons, C, 500 gallons, or D, 30 gallons?
Okay, this is such a BS question. Okay, they make these numbers up.
Of course.
Okay. I'm going to go with 30 gallons.
He's saying 30 gallons. You agree or disagree, Kyle?
I disagree.
That's a... What? Oh. You're wrong. 500 gallons? Sorry,
500
man.
Gallons. You know how big 500 gallons is, Kyle?
Gotta let you go, bud.
Poor guy.
The whole studio would be filled.
That's what I mean. Right.
Yeah. Well, that means we have one pair of tickets left. We'll give those away in a little while.
Oh, well, yeah.
Let me just say one thing. Yes, this show started here in Philadelphia, and it's a nationwide thing. Actually, it's international because there have been format deals where the show is seen all over the world. In fact, right now, the shows that Liza and I are doing are seen in Australia. They're seen in England. They're seen all over. And it's just something special about coming back here to our hometown. It's the only Robin and I are doing 60 cities together, but we're only doing the Harvey shows here in Philly. So if you want to see the original game, Harvey, Robin, myself, I don't even know what we're going to do tonight. We're just going to screw around. And, you know, if you...
Like any other night.
There you go.
Like,
but
different.
If you've been on the show, if you have a question, we'll go in the audience. I mean, these shows are going to be unique in that we're back home in Philadelphia.
You're going to rock out with your gack out.
You got it.
Harvey, did you work in this building when you were at MGK?
Yeah, I was. I think I was down on the third floor. Yeah.
I'm sorry to interrupt, Nick. The studio there, they just moved it because everybody's moving up to the fourth floor here.
Okay.
That studio has been in that location for 40 years.
Oh, man.
And they just moved it the other day. Yeah, last week.
Wow.
Yeah.
Wow. Yeah, no, I haven't been back in the place since I was fired. That's my usual policy when I get fired. I usually don't go back.
But you know what? There's still a heart etched into the console that says Harvey loves Robin.
I know, that's true. That's very true.
Yeah, well, I mean, I had these guys in on my show too at various points when we were still shooting here in Philly, and it was so great to
be able to be able to juggle everything, to do both. Because it's like when I got the gig at MGK, it was like, oh man, I think we were in New York, maybe, or already in Orlando. And I said to Larry Wexler, who was the general manager who hired me, I said, I really want to do this show, the radio show, but I said I really don't want to give up Double Dare because in the time that I'd worked with these guys and that show, it became such as people work at something and they go, man, we didn't know we were into the most special thing we were ever going to work on. This show was special. Well,
you knew it when it was going on, right?
Yeah, okay. You could tell. I think I could tell. These guys might not agree. But I knew that it was like, this is one of those. So I wanted to have it all. Right. And I was lucky that I could juggle both.
And, you know, because I'm a media whore and I like to be on your show especially, but I would be on his show back in the day. And so we would hang out on weekends here. I didn't live here. I was living in Los Angeles. And Harvey was nice enough to hang with us. And the producers and the writers would. And we would go and do things various weekends. So one weekend we went to Atlantic City and went in one of those booths and recorded a Bobby Darin song, I think we did.
Oh, one of those booths. Yeah, I was thinking you put a quarter in and there's a woman on a stool.
I thought it was an Elvis song, wasn't it?
I don't know. We designed, but anyway, we forced him. We came into the studio on Monday and we had the cassette of this and forced him to play it, and he was just cringing the entire time.
I was fired shortly there.
Now, we know what Mark is up to in life, but how about you two? Besides doing Double Dare Live, Robin, where are you? What are you doing?
I have two kids. I have one in college, one going. Wow. And at Double Dare was great. I've loved every aspect of it, but nothing beats being a mom.
Yeah. Where do you live?
I live in northern New Jersey.
Okay.
Tell them where your daughter's going to school.
My daughter's going to Penn State.
Wow.
Nice. My son plays football at Wagner College.
Nice. Oh, cool.
And I love everything I do. I'm on the road with Mark a lot. I'd love to see Harvey on the road. It's my kids.
Is it a bit of an issue? Because, of course, with your kid, they're going to say, oh, well, it's Robin from Double Dare. She used the highfalutin celebrity method to get her daughter into
my kids grin. I showed my kids remember, they're of the age they don't know it.
Yeah.
And then one time my daughter went to school and she goes, Mom, you were a pretty big deal. How come you didn't say anything? I said, because I've showed you four tapes and you're cringing.
You're
not talking to me. So that's over.
Leave me alone.
I'm not showing you again.
And Harvey, I know that Robin offered up to $5 to Wagner to get her son in.
You got in on that deal. Yeah. Where are you, Harvey? Where do you reside?
For the last 12 years or so, I've been doing Harvey the Handyman. It's my own construction business. I'm doing physical labor. I'm 68 freaking years old, and I'm doing physical labor. I sat on my ass for 35 years in TV and radio, so it's actually probably a good thing that I'm physical and active now. So I do that. I just did I do theater when I can because it's my favorite thing in the world. I did a show just yesterday at Hedgerow. They were doing a version of The Hobbit, and I was Gandalf and Smaug the Dragon.
Wow. And do we hear correctly you're going to do a dinner theater version of Fast and the Furious?
Yeah, that is coming up. We're working out the stunts now. We have to decide what we'll serve to go with that.
By the way, he's got a son, Caleb, who's doing quite well. He was born when we were in the middle of Double Dare.
Wow. Yeah, wild?
I didn't make the last 40 episodes or so that they shot in Florida because Caleb was just born, so they flew me down and I bring him on. He's a month old.
That's
crazy.
He's
sitting on my arm between my wrist and my elbow, and there's footage of Caleb, and he's now 6'4" and 27 almost.
Wow.
And,
you know, but where do you live, Harvey?
I live out in a suburban. I'm outside of like media.
Okay,
in that general
me
area.
Too.
Delco,
really. And I have a home recording studio. I'll put in a plug for John Flynn, who I've done the last four albums with. John Flynn, he's an amazing singer-songwriter. We just started working on a new song 2 days ago, and we're probably working on the next album.
So Harvey plays about 19 instruments on each one, and also is the person who engineers and puts it
all together. I mix it, record it, and I play most of the backing tracks, and I love it, love it, love it. Awesome. Pro Tools, I'm such a computer nerd. You can do so much. I'm looking at Preston sitting in front of this board with all these screens. We had a fax machine when I was downstairs, and that was really exciting.
Same with us. Yeah, when we started, honestly, two track to two track, when you want to do multi track, analog, the whole damn, it's amazing.
We would cut
tape with a razor blade. Yeah. For God's
we would just stand on a mountain and yell.
And another and another thing, kids, that's how I met your mother.
Oh, man, it's so great to have you guys back here. Have so much fun, the three of you together again here in the city where it started in Philadelphia. Yeah. It's going to be a blast.
We're excited.
Thanks. Some tickets remain. You can go to KimmelCenter.org to get the show, to get the tickets for the show Double Dare tonight at the Merriam Theater. Tomorrow night is sold out, and we'll give away another pair in a little while here. We make sure we have your opportunity.
Thank
to win.
You, as always.
Thank you.
Yeah, thanks, guys. And congrats on the continued success.
Oh, thank you.
More than anyone in this room, I know how hard it is to keep your ass in those seats and not get fired. Awesome. And congratulations on this long and deserved success.
You guys we love you really guys. Good. Mark, Harvey, and Robin, Double Dare gang. It's tonight and tomorrow. We're going to take a quick break, and we will return in just a little bit. Make sure you stay with us, all right?
Join Casey Boy Thursday from 4 to 6 at Metro by T-Mobile, 6637 Castor Avenue in Philly. Register to win a Casey's Corner VIP experience for MMRBQ 2019, only offered by Metro by T-Mobile, including a pair of reserve seats, access to the VIP catered party, access backstage with Casey for a meet and greet with one of the bands, and more. MMR's big friggin' deal. This week only, get two tickets to the Monster Energy NASCAR Cup Series race on May 5th, plus two trackside access passes at Dover International Speedway for only $99. Available through Sunday or while supplies last at WMMR.com. Keyword deal.
93.3 WMMR. Everything and everywhere that rocks.
Let's match them up.
It's time for Preston and Steve's Daily Rush Madness.
Today, there are seven matchups. That way, we can get through all of round one and move on to the next section. Right now, we are highlighting two videos that come from the Gadzooks region, one of my absolute favorites. And it's interesting how these were seeded out because I think one of them is a little bit unfair. So this is a number two against a number 15. The number two seed is Bill Cosby originally sang Blinded by the Light.
Wow.
And number 15, I don't know how this ended up so low, but it did. Roger Ailes Wants to Fart in Your Face. This is a tough one. I love these both equally.
I think I know why, Preston.
Why?
I think because the Ailes video is a lot shorter.
Okay.
It's much shorter.
All right. Well, let me play a little clip from Bill Cosby originally saying Blinded by the Light. Here we go.
And drummers, bombers, and Indians in the summer.
Sounds a little Bill Cosby.
Drummers, grummers, dumbers, and flappers, flappy, floobers, and flaggy, flaggy, flappers, boogers.
Does he?
That's just a little bit of that. You can watch the whole video because it goes on for a while. And then Roger Ailes Wants to Fart in Your Face. Here's a little clip of that. Roger Ailes, who was ousted earlier this year amid similar allegations from several women.
I want to fart in your face.
Is that Ailes?
Oh, my God.
I'm that big slob.
Oh, my God. It's so damn funny. You have to choose, though. It's up to you. You can go to WMMR.com and click on the Daily Rush Madness banner, and that is going to take you to those videos if you'd like to refresh your memory and, of course, place your vote and, of course, enter to win our grand prize, which is a chance for you to go to every single Punchline Comedy Club show for the rest of the year.
And the artwork that Nick Murphy and his crew did for these things. So Ailes here is depicted as a character from Dune.
Yeah.
And it just looks hilarious.
Yeah. So take a look when you get a chance. Real quick, I know we're already running super duper late, but I wanted to do a butt plug and a shout out. If you do not mind. This is from our buddy Craig Ligons. There's an event coming up for Tony McWilliams. This Saturday, it's going to be at Kern's Irish Inn on State Road in the Northeast. It is free and all ages. Food, drink specials from 3 p.m. till midnight. 25-plus musicians. So apparently, he was almost killed. His leg was crushed by a 4,000 wood pallet.
4,000-pound wood pallet?
4,000-pound wood pallet.
Yeah. Wow.
Had to have emergency surgery to save his life. Jeez. And they're raising money for him and his family. So Craig wanted me to make sure I get that word out there. Nick, do we have information on the website about that?
No, but I'll post it.
Okay, make sure we post that at PrestonandSteve.com on the community page. So I just wanted to give a little butt plug for that. And then a shout out. This... No, you don't have to play this.
Wow.
There it is. It says, hey, you guys start me off every day from 6:26 when my radio goes off till about 9:15 when I arrive at a day program for head injury. Been in a chair since 88, he says. Get me great concert tickets every time. Went to, I think meaning his wheelchair, gets him great concert tickets every time. I'm not sure. Said, went to over 20 shows last year in my power chair. Haven't missed a BBQ yet. Had a stroke and can't control my laughing, so I burst out laughing at you guys every morning. Says, can you give a juicy shout out to the Stratford Boys? That's the name of our group home. And extra, he also writes, I wrote an extra large print so you could read without your glasses. P.S. I always want to let you know that a gallon milk jug has a crease at the bottom so you can squash it flat.
Little, I didn't know that.
Fun fact for you. Gadzooks and DBH. Love you guys. That is from Mark E. So a shout out if you wouldn't mind.
Juicy one, Case?
Oh, sure.
Oh, you want to do the full John Jones, biggie? Yeah. Okay, we got to prep for that. Here we go. There you go. For the Stratford Boys and Mark E., thank you guys for listening. Let's do the Bizarre Five.
Now, Bizarre. WMMR presents Bizarre. Kristen and Steve's Bizarre File.
And this morning it is brought to you by Robbins Diamonds in tax-free Delaware with thousands of rings and self-serve cases and absolutely no sales tax versus the 8% tax in Philly. Robbins Delaware Diamonds. A mom is facing a battery charge after deputies say she threw pizza at a cook, claiming the food made her child sick.
The pizza made the child sick.
Sick.
Sick. Child is sick.
Deputy.
My name is Sally Thornton.
Deputies were called to Olivia's Pizza on Friday afternoon for the incident. When they got to the scene, they found the owner covered in tomato sauce and several slices of cheese pizza.
In tomato sauce.
On the floor, the victim told deputies a 28-year-old Seda Salim.
Seda Salim?
Sick.
The name is Seda Salim and my sister's sick. Sick.
I didn't know she had an alliterative S name.
Just have the pizza. I put some whey protein on it. My name is sick.
Washes down with some muscle milk.
Suck muscle milk. I'm gonna suck.
Seda Salim purchased a pizza for her child to eat, but then wanted a refund because she felt the pizza made her son sick.
Suck.
The victim refused to refund the woman and offered to make her more food at no charge. So the victim told Deputy Salim wanted six sodas in change.
I want six. I'm Salim. I want six sodas because this pizza is sick.
In exchange for the pizza, but he refused. That's when the pizza shop owner says Salim started throwing slices of pizza at him, hitting him in the chest and face. Salim left the scene. The victim was able to get her license plate information and give it to deputies. When they spoke to Salim at her home, she told them she ordered a margarita pizza but received a plain cheese pizza instead.
No!
And when she went to confront the manager, she said he sprinkled some basil on top. Salim told deputies her son started to eat the pizza, but then threw up. She believed the cheese was spoiled and she wanted to return it. Salim told deputies the victim started yelling racial slurs at her and told her to go back to her country when she tried to return the pizza. She said she shoved the pizza through the window and the pizza hit him because he was standing in her way. But during an interview with deputies at the scene that was captured on body camera, the victim denied calling Salim any kind of name or making reference to her country. She was arrested for battery and taken to a detention center. She has since been released.
Over pizza.
Yeah, exactly. A loud fracas erupted.
Fracas.
When two house guests refused to remove their shoes, prompting neighbors to call police. So it was about 1 a.m. Officers responded to the complaint of loud arguing inside a house. And as officers arrived, man and woman burst out of the front door yelling hysterically, the report said.
Ta-da!
Police separated the two, then questioned them, along with a man and a woman inside the residence. According to their statements, one of the women is 32 and lives there, while the other is a 28-year-old who was visiting from out of town. Now, the two 29-year-old men live in town and drop by for a visit. One said that he, quote, messes around with the home's resident while his friend was, quote, supposed to hook up with the other woman.
I mess around.
But the gathering turned sour shortly after the men arrived. The resident asked him to remove their shoes, but they refused. One of the men said he wanted to keep his shoes on because there was no carpeting in the house.
There's no carpet here.
All four agreed that the resident got mad and raised her voice, but then the stories diverged according to gender. The women said that one of the men dropped his phone, but the men said the resident whacked it out of his hand. And when the phone hit the floor, the screen cracked and the owner demanded the resident, the woman with whom he, quote, messed around with, give him $50 for repairs. The woman told police that the phone dropper began to tear up the house, including pulling a TV off a wall mount. However, the men said that the resident was the one who tore up the house before she pulled out a knife and made threats.
How do you cut, if you're a responding police officer, how do you cut through nonsense like this?
Because of the conflicting stories, officers could not determine a probable cause, and there were no arrests made.
There you go. That's how you figure it out. I don't know.
All four of you people are stupid. We're leaving. And that's what they did.
Put your shoes on.
A Florida man was arrested Monday after he attacked his mother, who refused to dress his mannequin, beating her with a kitchen stool and shoving dumplings in her mouth.
Refused to dress his mannequin.
I'm going
to
read that again.
Yeah, take each one and just let it each part sit for a bit.
A Florida man, first of all. Was arrested Monday after he attacked his mother, who refused to dress his mannequin, beating her with a kitchen stool, and then shoving dumplings into her mouth.
Florida man, Florida man.
Mikkel Dankner faces charges of aggravated battery, domestic battery, and strangulation.
I asked you one simple thing. To dress my mannequin.
Dankner and his mother were in their backyard when he asked her to dress his mannequin.
Mr. Brooks is standing there naked.
After she refused to do so, Mr. Brooks, Dankner stood in the doorway blocking her from getting back inside the home, so she pushed the mannequin to the ground.
You want some dumplings, bitch? You want some dumplings?
As Dankner moved to pick up the mannequin, his mother ran inside, but Dankner followed her into the kitchen and pushed her to the floor. He then picked up a small stool on the kitchen floor and struck her several times in the head with it. He then grabbed small dumplings made for dinner and started shoving them into her mouth.
It's sort of my fault. I didn't dress this mannequin.
After his mother told him she couldn't breathe, he stepped away from her and began throwing items around the kitchen, including a ceramic cup that shattered on the kitchen counter.
That's how you treat a mother, huh?
A neighbor heard Dankner's mother scream for help. She ran out of the house and called 911. Deputies said Dankner was combative as he was arrested and taken to jail. The mother was taken to the hospital. She had to get some stitches since she had a cut to her head.
So. Was it ever ascertained as to why it was so important this mannequin be dressed?
They didn't really address the mannequin any further in the story.
Does he know it's not real?
I'm curious about that, too, Steve.
Yeah. All right.
We're going to have to wrap it up there. That's what I got in the B-file for you. Let's give away some movie screening passes. We got an advanced screening of Shazam in IMAX Glory at the UA Riverview. And it's on Monday. Let's do seven callers right now. 215-263-WMMR. We will put you on that list. It's at 7 o'clock on Monday. UA Riverview IMAX screen. You'll need to be there by 6:30. Just a heads up on that. We're going to take a break. Be back in a moment. Stay with us. Good luck to you.
The MMR mobile app. Use it to grab the MMR live stream and MMR audio on demand, including the Preston and Steve podcast. Bring up the live studio webcam, too. The MMR app is Android Auto and Apple CarPlay compatible, and it's free.
Miller Lite, Miller Lite. Got to thank Miller Lite. They're going to be sponsoring our next Painfully Single Mixer, which is going to be here before you know it, April 4th.
Mm-hmm.
Is that a week from today?
Yes, it is.
Oh, my God.
Yeah.
We will be at the Great American Pub in Conshohocken, and it's from 6 to 9 p.m. If you're interested in going, we're not taking phone calls. We're going to have you sign up online, and you might be chosen for the event. And if you get there, you get your first Miller Lite is going to be for free. It's complimentary, happy hour buffet, and there will be $3 Miller Lite specials, some music and prizes, all kinds of stuff. You have to be at least 21 years of age. To enter to win, go to the contest page, WMMR.com. Get you signed up. Light beer from Miller, everything you always wanted in a beer with more taste and less carbs. Casey's got an appearance today, 4 to 6 p.m. Metro Store in Northeast Philly on Castor Avenue, 6637 to be more specific. And what's special about today's appearance, Casey?
Well, you can stop by and actually register for the Casey's Corner VIP experience that's going on at the Room Barbecue this year. Yes.
That is very cool.
Yeah. So please come on by. I'll be there at any point between 4 and 6 p.m. And then I'll be somewhere else tomorrow.
All right. So
doing the same thing.
Today, the Metro Store on Castor Avenue in Northeast Philly. It's 6637 Castor Ave. So if you're in and around that area, 4 to 6 today. Swing by there, maybe on the drive home from work, and you just might win this very cool prize.
Excellent.
All right.
I think it's time to talk about food. Let me put on my chef's hat.
Oh, hang on. Yeah. We got to do the Daily Rush thing first.
Oh, okay.
It's time for Preston and Steve's Daily Rush Madness.
All right, let's do a couple more videos. And we now have a number 5 seed against number 12 seed. The first video is how to make Frank Rizzo's crumb crimp crumb. It says crepe brulee. Crumb crepe brulee. I guess that's what it is. Yeah. Yes. Against Gloria Estefan and the Philadelphia Noise Machine. Did that one already go up yet? Or
No.
Okay.
Nope.
All right. So this is a fresh matchup. This is in the Anyway region. Here's a clip from Frank Rizzo and how to make the crumb creep brulee. Here we go.
You're a crumb creep.
A crumb creep.
You're a moon creep pie creep crumb. You're creep brulee. That's what you are.
Creep brulee.
Brulee. Yeah. As if someone's taken a little, one of them little torches and fried the top of your head into like a caramelized sugary thing. You are crepe brulee.
All right, so the crumb crepe brulee. God, that was a lot of fun. And then the next one is Gloria Estefan and the Philadelphia Noise Machine.
I like this one.
Here we go.
I know how they felt when they first listened to Sgt. Pepper.
Oh, my God. That was us playing those quote-unquote instruments, by the way.
Wow, that's magnificent.
It's up to you. So you got to vote. And you can go to WMMR.com, click on the Daily Rush Madness banner, and then go vote. Watch the videos if you like, but you can vote right then and there. And these, you can vote on these all day long, okay? So we have 7 matchups. So we've got 2 more to go before we wrap on the program.
Some brutal competitions today, I have to say.
Yes. Now, can I do this?
Yes.
All right, here we go.
Ladies and gentlemen, it's time for The Connoisseur. Yeah. The stories have been piling up, and it's time to dish them out.
Very well done. All right, I'm going to start with this one. Actually, this story just hit yesterday, and people are kind of making a big thing about this. A Twitter user named Alec Krautman tweeted a photo out this week that showed Panera bagels sliced vertically like loaves of bread. And he captioned the photo saying, "Today I introduced my coworkers to the St. Louis secret of ordering bagels bread sliced." And he said it was a hit, but the responses online ripped him apart.
Oh, absolutely. People going nuts.
Yeah. So what you would do, and so by the way, Panera originated in St. Louis. I know this because I grew up there, and it was called St. Louis Bread Company. In fact, it's still called St. Louis Bread Company.
There it is, right?
But what's that?
In St. Louis, it's still called St. Louis Bread Company.
Even though it's the decor is exactly the same as Panera, the food, the menu, everything is exactly the same. But it started there. They kept the name. They didn't want to change it. Nationwide, it became Panera. So I saw a picture, and somebody had bought a variety of bagels and got them what they call bread sliced. Essentially, they just put them in that slicer machine.
Yeah,
they
slice
loaves of bread.
So cool to watch it.
And this way, you can take smaller pieces out and eat them a little bit at a time. Maybe just put a little bit of cream cheese on each one. I like it.
Yeah.
Now, I'm not all up in arms about it. I do like having a whole bagel and taking an entire half and smearing that baby up with a bunch of cream cheese and eating it that way. But if you wanted to try a bunch of different bagels, I think that's a pretty ingenious way to go about it.
For a sampler and maybe like bring into work to let people, you know, try a couple of different ways. Yeah, you know, there's a weird thing here, Preston. I was thinking about this. You know, it's got to be psychosomatic that when you perceive that something, the taste of something changes simply by its physical configuration. Like, for some reason, I believe there are times I want to eat the pizza folded, and there are times I want to eat it
flat.
Yeah, I don't.
And I sense it's the same food going into my mouth the same way. Yet, why do I believe I'm tasting two different things?
I think part of it is the order. It's hard to explain.
The order it's hitting your tongue.
Yeah, exactly.
Is that it?
So when you wrap it up, you've got all that crust wrapped around the cheese and the sauce,
right?
Which doesn't hit the top of your mouth first. You know what I mean?
I do know, and yet for some reason, for me, it seems like that's a bizarre because ultimately, after a couple of chews, it's all
exactly.
But it's like you
after a couple of chews,
right.
You can enjoy it
differently.
I think so.
Do you know what I'm saying? I'm not going to criticize this because I've never tried it, and I didn't even think about it, but it is a good way if you want to taste a few different bagels. This is the way to do it.
To have a bagel, to have like turkey and Swiss on a bagel is wonderful. I mean, like on
I like bagel sandwiches.
Panera has good bagels.
Yeah.
But on a snack thing, a little bit of cream cheese on a slice like this, I can see that too.
I like pizza bagels. Those are good.
Bagels and pizza.
You're combining it both.
I think, and I don't mean to be a jerk about this, but I think this ruins the sanctity of the bagel.
I understand where you're coming from.
You're no longer consuming a bagel. You're consuming a different product.
Do you know? I think you're right there, Nick, because in the supermarkets, bagel chips
are sold.
That's it.
And I think this is well on its way to being a bagel chip.
I agree.
I kind of see it that way, too. But I'm curious. And I don't think this is sacrilegious.
It's not that big of a deal.
We'll agree that it is horribly perverted.
No, I'm not saying that. because I'm pretty sure that someone Jewish did this because St. Louis has a very, very large Jewish population and it's a Jewish thing? It's a Jewish delicacy. And I think somebody Jewish came up with this, which makes it okay.
All right.
I think that's a theory of mine.
That's what you think.
Somebody Italian does something to spaghetti. There you go.
It's okay.
Somebody who's Chinese. F's with lo mein. You got it.
Somebody Polish changes the pierogies.
Exactly.
Fine.
It's okay.
But not for a cracker like me.
But some people are like pissed at this.
Yeah, I'm not pissed.
Relax.
I just think it changes it. I miss a good pierogi.
Do you know what I do like though, Nick? Also on this level, I've seen the same thing done with muffins.
Slice them up.
Little thicker. Almost like little muffin pound cakes.
Okay.
So you get a little bit of the top in each slice.
Every slice gets a bit of the top.
Right.
Mm-hmm. And then, of course, did the world fall apart when they started selling just muffin tops?
I think so.
I don't see that. I guess you see those every now and then, right? Muffin
all
tops
the time.
Are good.
Yeah. Panera has them all the time.
Panera does?
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Muffin tops?
And their most popular selling muffin tops are the chocolate chip muffin tops.
Okay. I could see that. I'm a fan of their scones.
Mm.
I'm a scone man.
Scones.
Yes, scones. It's fun to say.
Do you know the little secret?
Can I get a little white wine spritzer with my scone?
And you cut a little dollop of cream cheese. The secret about scones that rocked my world is that they're incredibly high in calories.
Isn't that bizarre?
Oh, darn it.
It's essentially
a cookie. Incredibly high in calories.
Yeah, we there was a person that we found out that made their own scones, and they made them for us. Oh, my
God.
God, were they good. And it was essentially a giant cookie roll is what it was, and you just could cut off whatever you wanted to.
Yeah, I always thought,
no,
it's not as sweet, so it's lower calories.
No,
and I look at it, it actually, the zeros ran off the box.
Steve, they're loaded with shortening. That's why.
That's got to be it.
Shortening and sugar, so, I mean.
Yeah, when I was younger, Steve, I thought that the muffins were like a really good breakfast alternative.
Because they're low in calories.
Yes, yeah, somebody pointed out to me that it's basically cake for breakfast.
If you put bran in front of it.
Right.
You know.
A bran muffin's got to be low in calories. There was a place on Long Island I used to go to every morning before I'd go to, I don't know how I managed to keep my weight in check doing this, but Gerber's. And they had all natural, and those muffins they're huge, but it's okay that they're huge because muffins are low in calories. And then I finally asked the guy, how much is one of these muffins calorie-wise? He goes, probably 1,100, 1,200 calories.
Yeah, for one.
What?
By the way, I like this analogy. This texter says, when you fold your pizza, it's like switching sex positions. Sometimes you just got to switch it up.
Exactly.
You gotta, same thing, maybe cut your bagel that way.
Do
maybe
you ever
cut your muffin
take your pizza
way.
From behind?
You mean eat it crust first? Well, yeah.
Yeah,
yes.
Sure.
Maybe I have. Speaking of pizza...
More for the connoisseur.
Domino's offers lots of toppings for its pizza, but hot dog slices are a novel one. Customers in France have the option of ordering hot dog stuffed calzones or a hot dog topped pizza.
Shut up.
The Cal's hot dog is filled with mozzarella sliced hot dog and yellow mustard, while the hot dog pizza is topped with the meat, but... also has hot dog slices stuffed into the crust. So that would almost be like, you know, the pizza dogs that you, I mean, the pretzel dogs that you get?
Yeah, like a pig in the poke.
But this would be going around the entire pizza in the crust. That's kind of interesting.
These things, you know, for the same way, Preston, I'm beginning to believe that when you start to report on these things, or the connoisseur does, that these various food companies, The same way, like in the high fashion, the haute couture, mm-hmm. when they reel out these things that no one would ever wear, they do it just to get the press, or like at the car show, the prototypes that never make it to, to be actually being manufactured. Because I can't see this ending up here.
I see, like, KFC doing stuff like that.
KFC does deliver.
They do the really novelty things. They do deliver, but they do the things like, the chicken breast as the bun and stuff like that, which it's novelty. It's not going to take. But some of these companies, really, you never know what's going to take, and they test market these things, and they try them out, and they roll them up, and then you never know. So all of a sudden, there might be a craze on hot dog stuff.
Right.
Pizza crust. I have no idea. I never really ordered the stuffed pizza crust. I think it sounds like a good idea, but it just seems too...
I tried it once. It's honestly, there is, you can reach a point, and I love cheese, where there's too much cheese.
Yeah. Uh-huh. Okay. Domino's France has also introduced a burger pizza topped with tomato sauce, mozzarella. Oh, it's topped with tomato sauce, mozzarella, beef, meatballs, onions, pickles, tomatoes, and a drizzle of burger sauce. I would try that.
Drizzle.
Wawa used to make a cheeseburger hoagie that I loved.
So the couch tomato Manny Young does a cheeseburger for a while. Pizza.
Yep.
I'm sorry. Mother effer's good.
Did it have like ketchup and stuff like that?
Yeah.
On it?
Whatever it was, the taste was fantastic. What you have to do, and again, one of the wildest things I ever tasted was a full turkey dinner pizza, and they had it, and it was awesome. But you have to make it synergize with the actual pizza technology.
Hey, Domino's has this thing going on now where if you just like take pictures of whatever other pizza you're eating, you can get credit. So every 10 pictures you send to your Domino's app, you'll get a free Domino's pizza. And to me, it makes no sense.
I think it's
how that works because honestly, you could just take a picture of any pizza. Like you go, you know what I mean? Like you could just take 10 pictures of pizzas, then there's your free pizza.
Doesn't your, when you take a picture on your phone, is this what they're counting on? Doesn't your phone sort of stamp location and time?
Well, it's an effort, I believe, to get you to use the app.
Okay.
And to get have that, and have that be a part of your pizza ordering habit. So it's a promotion. I don't know how long it's going to last, guys, because it doesn't say in the commercials that it's going to be around forever or anything like that.
They probably don't care if you actually ate the pizza or not. You're now getting a pizza from them. You're using the app, and you're likely to go back.
I like how they can be so cavalier with us.
Yeah. By the way, this is a brilliant idea, a text I got here. I like cupcakes. I'm not a big icing guy. I like a little bit of icing, and when they put tons of icing on there,
it's stupid.
Like you said, when the folding of the pizza thing, I don't like the icing being on top, and you know what I mean?
But said one of my massive pet peeves. Cake to icing ratio on a cupcake is critical.
Watch this. Here's an idea I never had. Did you read this?
I didn't
this
read it, but I think...
Do it! Say it!
This says, my daughter breaks a cupcake in half, flips it, and then makes a sandwich out of it.
Have I never eaten a cupcake in front of you guys?
I learned it from you, Casey. I saw you do it, and I was like, what a great idea.
Yeah, I mean, especially when you have, like me and Kathy got a little bit of a mustache. You don't get the icing
what?
No, I'm just kidding.
He's saying your thick mustache catches the icing.
When you get icing in your hair.
When you're Tom Selleck dense mustache.
I'm just kidding.
And then it gets in your little soul patch.
Yeah, your soul patch.
Okay. All right, move on.
And then your agar and sideburns.
Yeah. Cut the cupcake in half. Go ahead, Case.
No, but the icing gets stuck in your mustache, which, could be worse, It could be stuck in your butt. But, I don't mind licking that stuff off. But
yes, it could, I think. I think there are multiple scenarios that would end up with cupcake icing up your ass.
Cake sitting, Steve. It's
a thing.
It is. We've had it done here.
So we were just talking...
Oh, yeah, we were splashing.
Yeah.
We were just talking about the pizza crust, having a hot dog in it. Here is a pizza roll story.
It's a pizza roll story from the connoisseur.
Yeah.
I like when you go regular, across-the-board consumer food.
Yeah, I do, because I actually don't get a lot of...
High-end
the
gourmet stuff.
The gourmet stories. Yeah. So I'm happy to bring these to you. Totino's Pizza Rolls are pretty legendary, and now they're adding a new flavor to the mix, and that's the cheeseburger flavor. We're just talking about cheeseburger.
Totino's pizza rolls were the greatest things to ever happen for the alcoholic mother. Right?
Totino's in the refrigerator.
Yep. The cheeseburger pizza rolls are filled with beef pizza topping, tomato puree, and reduced fat cheddar cheese. That ought to do it, right?
Yeah. I'm eating healthy. I'm eating Totino's pizza rolls. I'm making changes in my life. Do you guys eat them a lot with
all
the kids?
Time. Yeah,
it's a kid's thing, right?
I have not eaten pizza rolls in decades.
It's kids a kids and a me thing.
You eat them too?
Yeah, I like the pepperoni ones. I usually get like a big bag, and I do actually prefer to eat them microwaved.
Naked.
No, microwaved and not like cooked in the oven.
Why
I think
that?
Because I think when you cook it in the oven, it the texture changes. And
it would
I,
be crispier, I would
do you know what, yeah, I recommend something? Think. Case? An yeah. air fryer.
Yeah. You know what? Actually, my siblings have those. I should probably invest in one. But you would think that the crispy would be better. But, I mean, for me, I mean, I'm just talking
like
about myself.
Mushy.
I like them, yeah, mushier.
Okay. That's not how your pizza rolls.
Hey!
The new flavor is rolling out in stores now. It's currently listed on both Walmart and Target websites. So, Chris, you're in luck. You can go ahead and get these. Would you try these?
Sure. Okay. I mean, I really do prefer Totino's over any other brand, and
what
I do
flavor?
Prefer the just the pepperoni pizza one.
Pepperoni pizza.
Yeah.
One.
Do you know for? It's funny because you know I'm my diet's good. I eat a lot of very healthy stuff, but there are points in time. I have no problem, Preston. You know we've talked about eating cold SpaghettiOs out of a can mm-hmm. or cold ravioli. Stuff like that can taste so effing good.
Yeah.
I know. And it just, because it has all the things. That's why they sell so well. It's guaranteed to have stuff you're going to crave.
Let me ask you a personal question, because yeah. we have meat and eats here all the time.
I am gay.
No, that's not what I was going to ask. What for you is the most difficult to resist when we have a meat and eat here? Is it like a Primo's hoagie? Is it something along those lines? Or is it like a
chocolate chip cookies?
Chocolate chip cookies.
Okay. Easily.
Chocolate chip cookies.
Yeah.
And the bitch of it is I will have them and then I can't have dinner or whatever because, you know, I try to take in a set amount of calories during
right.
the day.
Yeah.
And I'm like, oh, no. But, Jesus. And when they come, you know what? I'll tell you what I hate. Here's absolutely what I hate.
Mm-hmm.
And we haven't had one in a long while. The super large chocolate chip cookie cake
mm-hmm.
with the name written in the icing that I love so much. And they're
Wait, why do you hate that?
Because I love it.
Oh, okay. All right. It's a love-hate
it's
thing.
It's irresistible.
You have yeah. to eat the
irresistible.
Whole
okay.
Because you're just, and you can cut them in small enough. I've only had 50,
right.
51 of these.
Right.
And so you the delusion is there because you can keep, I'm just having a little slice here.
We had the crew from Dietz and Watson in on Tuesday, I guess, and every time I walked past, I should just have one or two.
Yeah.
And then I end up wanting to have three or four or five. And your discipline, Preston, over this last few months of being able to resist the meat needs is so impressive to me because we have great food that shows
we do.
Up here.
We do.
Do you know what I do?
I stay away from it.
What I do when I get Primo, so I'll get a Primo, I'll get Preston, I'll get the roll scooped. Eliminate as much bread as possible. I'll get the white tuna, not with the oil, you know, the water tuna. And then what I do is I cut small slices. So it's like, you know, I don't wolf it down. So I'm more inclined to put part of it away if
okay.
I'm, instead I just feel I'm obliged to finish this whole effing thing.
Yeah.
Seems very, very boring way to live to me. I was watching Billions
What's
the other day.
What's an exciting way to live? Totino's?
Just eat whatever the hell you want, and you know, like
Totino's while naked.
I was watching Billions the other night, and Paul Giamatti's character, he has a sandwich, and I wonder, people probably use this as a method to not eat that much, but he had a sandwich.
He poops on it.
He was cut in half. Oh. He took the one half of the sandwich and he threw it in the trash, and then yeah. he just ate the other half.
No,
of the
that
sandwich.
Happens quite often.
It's yeah. like Brent Selleck's theory of mm-hmm. Eating two bites of dessert and then pouring salt all over it.
Yeah,
I've done that. I've done that type of thing. Yeah, just get rid of it.
Or if it's the other way, eat two tablespoons of salt and pour dessert all over it.
I am thinking about doing a Facebook Live video on our account because so everybody I've been running into, I just ran into people yesterday, and they see the weight loss I've had, and they're like, what did you do?
Yeah.
What did you do? And I think I might do a video explaining exactly how, and I started writing it down exactly how I went through it because I didn't follow a specific program, but I took some steps. And so I might do that. I don't know.
People would listen. Then, yeah.
Yeah. But the bottom line is you got to be committed to it if you're going to do it. And Totino's is a big part.
Absolutely. I can't imagine there's a weight loss program that does not involve Totino's.
Yeah. All right. Let me get to another connoisseur thing. We're going to move over to candy.
The connoisseur is moving over to the confections.
Yes.
Candy.
We obviously have Easter rapidly approaching.
Easter is very much associated with Jesus.
Yes, it is. Very much associated. Closely associated. But Reese's Peanut Butter Lovers, is a new product that's coming out. And this particular treat is filled with more peanut butter than your typical Reese's peanut butter cup, and it replaces the top layer of chocolate coating with a peanut butter candy shell. And the brand will also be releasing Reese's Chocolate Lover's Option, which has a higher proportion of richer and darker milk chocolate and thicker than usual chocolate shell.
Your brain has the shell on it.
So if you, so they'll have both. They'll have the chocolate lovers and the peanut butter lovers.
Huh.
I here's and there's another story that was done about a similar situation in that.
Is this a personal story?
No, no. Okay. The people say that Reese's holiday peanut butters, candies have more peanut butter in them than chocolate, and they like them better that way. I'd go with it because I think the peanut butter egg that comes out around this time of year is so much better than the regular Reese's peanut butter cup.
See, I go the other way. I tend to think that too much of the whatever
the peanut butter filling,
peanut butter type filling that they use, it's, well, it's good. Too much of it is too, I don't like it. I'd rather have a higher chocolate to peanut butter ratio because I just know inherently that's healthy for you.
Oh my God.
Now, Preston, this isn't going to help at all with your diet, but they do come out with the egg, but they have some sort of creation for every holiday. Like they have the heart for, you know, and then they have Christmas trees and all
Arbor
of that.
Day.
But that's what they're saying. These people are saying that all of the seasonal Reese's have more peanut butter than chocolate, or the ratio is larger of chocolate to peanut
butter. They list them all in that song, Seasons of Reese's.
Seasons of Reese's. An investigative report from all over Albany.
They went to Albany, huh?
Yeah.
Is that the name of, is that what they did, or is that the name of a magazine? All over Albany.
All over Albany, I think, is a magazine. But anyhow, found that the Reese's egg they tested weighed 14 grams more than a cup and also contained 9 more grams of peanut butter. Additionally, many argue that there's just an allure that comes with limited edition treats like that. But they now have two options, Steve. If you like more chocolate than peanut butter, they're coming out with the chocolate lovers. And if you prefer, like me, more peanut butter than the chocolate, they are coming out with that option too.
So I understand there are also plans underway to have Totino's stuffed with
chocolate or peanut butter. One of the whichever one you prefer.
Was Reese's the first that had was the TV campaign? Your peanut butter's in my chocolate. Your chocolate's in my peanut butter. Was that the Reese's peanut butter cup? The first?
I don't think it was. Oh, wait a minute. Oh, yeah, it had to have been, right?
Right. Your peanut butter's in my chocolate. Your chocolate's in my peanut butter. Two great tastes that taste great together.
Steve, what was the candy bar that had peanut butter and jelly in it? It didn't last very long.
Was it actually called PBJ?
Was it a Smucker's candy by any chance?
Was it for Schmucks?
Nick will have to. Nick, you'll
sorry,
have to.
Sorry, I was
look.
On alliveralbany.com.
I'm sure it's pretty alluring.
Look at their page 3 girl. She's got 5 teeth and a meth app.
Look up peanut butter and jelly candy bar.
You know the peanut butter filled pretzels?
Yes.
I just saw at Whole Foods the other day peanut butter and jelly filled pretzel.
Really?
Yeah.
The little pillow shaped ones?
Yes. Yes.
Okay. I haven't had those. Yeah, I guess it was called BB&J, Case.
And was it Smucker's?
Let's find out. No, that's Trader Joe's, so that's more current.
There's a Hershey's one.
No, that's not what I'm looking for. Okay, well, anyhow.
I will tell you, PB&J is a go-to in my house, and I don't know why anybody will buy jelly that is not squeezable. Like, to me, it's just...
And so you're telling the court you bought non-squeezable jelly. Is that correct? Case, you know, the... Crustables?
See, Uncrustables are great, too, but they're expensive. And it's ridiculous to...
What's it going to take to put you in an Uncrustable?
So if I want to splurge, right, I will get myself an Uncrustable. But
let me talk to the manager and see what I can knock off.
With the squeezable jelly, I can make a peanut butter and jelly sandwich in under a minute. I mean...
Oh, you're good.
I am good. I can make two in under a minute.
Can I ask? Because everything that you've mentioned, and I'm not busting on you.
Of course you're not.
I legitimately want to know.
Okay.
But Totino's and peanut butter and jelly and all this stuff. What's a wholesome food that you eat in the
I have eaten a salad every single day for the last month.
Have you?
Yes.
Yeah, so okay.
Kiss my ass.
He was saying not to bust on you.
But he was. It's a backhanded not to bust on me.
Wow.
Right?
Okay.
So, listen, I know what healthy foods are. And by the
You've
way.
You've seen them in documentaries.
I've seen them in documentaries. I just don't like them. I just.
Let me tell you.
I've tried kale. I don't.
No, you don't have to go that far. You do not have to. No, however, I love So I had a salad last night, and I know this is the stuff that I think I agree with. It had almonds, it had cranberries, it had kale, it had brown rice. So it had all this stuff, and then I put ice cream on it. And then I put, I love, these things are a godsend. If anyone's having trouble dieting and getting a protein source, because I exercise a lot, and I need a lot of protein, the Starkist buffalo tuna packets that, who's it, from Candace Cameron Bure does the commercials for, you know, they're sensational. You've got to try them. Put them in any salad, and you'll freaking love it.
But you don't have to eat, you know, kale.
Yeah.
It's just you can have steak and broccoli or something like that, as opposed to pizza rolls or something like that. So anyhow, I was just curious if you guys ever have meals like that.
I will tell you, Preston, and may I offer this hypothesis here. I think when you have kids, because I've noticed everybody I know who has kids, the picture of what I was talking about is up on the screen in the studio. When you have kids, you start to mimic what you're feeding them. That's what I've been told by some parents.
It can.
A lot of time, if in the house you have chicken nuggets and
macaroni and cheese,
you're going to end up eating that.
And pizza.
If you're making it for them. Did you go through a phase like that?
Yeah, of course, because it was easy to do.
Right.
Yeah.
So, and I think for a while.
But now my kids are older and we feed them more healthy food.
Okay.
So, yeah.
So that didn't happen with me. I didn't start making myself chicken nuggets, but if there was one left, then I would have that. That's the problem.
Is that it?
You kind of pick and you finish. But with this Be Balanced program that I've been doing, I realized how many extra calories I was eating. Like, even if it wasn't bad, if it was just, grilled chicken and vegetables, it was too much.
You're eating extra.
Exactly. Like, it should have been this many ounces, and I was eating,
The moment you start... The moment you start being held accountable for the calories, then you realize, you're like, oh my God, I didn't know. I had no idea.
Well, and that also...
I had five scones. I didn't know.
But I'll tell you, it also forces you to then, or at least for me, to make sure I get some sort of workout in, where sometimes there would be a day and I'm like, I'm going to take today off. But then if I just get that workout in, even if it's just a walk somewhere, then it's like, okay, I can have a glass of wine tonight.
And Steve, when making food for my son, so often I would make my own portion smaller because I knew that I would end up eating his leftovers.
There you go.
And
those are the adjustments then, right?
They're sitting on his plate and it's like, all right, yeah, they're going to end up in my mouth.
We got to wrap it up?
Yeah.
I was going to tell you about a product called Bunny Farts, but we'll do that.
It's food. But we'll do it another time.
This is Ben the Connoisseur with a special little tease about Bunny Farts.
Yeah, we'll get to that next time. All right, we're going to take a break and come back in a moment. Reminder that Casey is out and about today. Metro Store at 6637 Castor Avenue in Northeast Philadelphia. And he will be there from 4 to 6 p.m. Stop by because you might win this VIP experience at Casey's Corner, the MM Barbecue. So don't miss that. We're going to take a break, come back. We have a guest when we return.
This 93.3 WMMR Audio On Demand program returns after a brief word from our sponsors.
At Steven Singer Jewelers, everyone gets the perfect price. No coupons, no sales, no negotiating. Feel great about buying a diamond. Visit Steven Singer, the other corner of 8th and Walnut in Philly, or online at IHateStevenSinger.com. Always with free shipping. Steven Singer Jewelers. One place, one price.
Prince Creek Outfitters in Phoenixville has everything you need for the great outdoors and beyond. All the big-name brands, they have them. Visit FrenchCreekOutfitters.com for additional info. French Creek Outfitters, why take a chance with anybody else?
This is the Preston and Steve Show podcast.
All right, before we get to our guest,
it's time for Preston and Steve's Daily Rush Madness.
All right. We have seven matchups today. Here's the next one. Our videos that are facing off in this particular round come from the Hey Bitches region. And the two videos are number 6 seed, Preston Can't Pronounce Mega Church.
Oh, yeah.
And that goes up against number 11 seeded Russian Jokes. And I'll play just a short clip from each of those videos just to remind you what they're about. So this was me not being able to pronounce Mega Church. Shut up.
What is it?
The Black Mega Church. I was going to say Mega Church. I thought it was some foreign name.
Like a creature. The Mega Church!
Yeah. It's capitalized. I'm like.
The Mega Church!
Mega Church.
Mega. It's like the, what was the, The coffee.
Oh, the coffee.
It was
Church of the C of E. Yeah, yeah. The Church of England. And then there's the Russian jokes. I love this one. Here's a quick clip of that.
So knock, knock.
Who's there?
Stay in your seats or you'll all be shot. He's funny, yes?
And there's several of them, but that's just a little taste of it. If you want to watch the videos, WMMR.com and click on the Daily Rush Madness link and also enter to win the grand prize. You can get all the details at WMMR.com. Now on to our next guest, who's going to be performing at the Sellersville Theater tomorrow. I feel like I'm going to be Steve the Senator from The Godfather 2, who pronounces Corleone.
yeah.
As I try to do some respect for our next guest, but we're going to welcome Pete Corielli.
Wow.
Damn.
Damn.
How you doing, Pete?
Good. Excellent. I am beyond excited to be here, guys.
Excellent.
Thank you for having me. Look, I was telling you, don't even understand the ordeal. I mean, it was harder for me to get this set up than going on like a Letterman.
I didn't know it was that difficult.
Well, you're coming from Allentown?
Well, no, my journey to get here. I mean, you know, normally you play someplace, you wake up at the hotel, they pick you up, you go do radio. I was all on my own. I was psyched that you guys were willing to have me. Huge number one radio in the morning in Philly.
Yeah.
Very always wanted to be on here. Live in a small town in Fredonia, which is outside of Buffalo, right?
I know it.
Yeah.
There's a SUNY school there.
Yes.
Yeah.
Oh, dude. My house hugs the campus. That pumps the economy, man. Without that college, we're dead in the water. I tell my wife, we're buying a house hugging the campus. Yeah. We want to be close enough that they keep our houses nice for when the parents come visit.
I
live in such a small town. I'm not even kidding. When we first moved there, my wife is from a town over. We haven't lived there. I lived in the city and stuff. So, I'm with a buddy, and we're going to go into a bar, Coghlan's, on Main Street.
Okay.
And he goes, you didn't pump the meter. And I go, oh, man. And he goes, is that a big deal? He goes, well, if you want to pay the $7, it's up to you. I go, $7 is the ticket for not feeding the meter? I go, I'm going to leave it here monthly. That's a cup of coffee in the night. Are you kidding me? What is this, 1972?
That's Mayberry quaint.
I'm from the Midwest, and when I tell people, and if they're in town, I take them somewhere, you go park in a garage, and it's going to be, you know, like $30 or whatever. Yeah. They just can't wrap their mind around
that. I can't stand when hotels do that, especially in L.A., and $30 for parking. What am I going to walk through the parking lot with my bag? You know I got a car.
Yeah.
Just put it on the room bill.
Yeah.
So I'm sorry I'm yelling. But
anyway. No, you're right. We feel the passion.
So I go, my parents live in Easton up on a hill. They retire. My dad golfs every day. So I think I'll go stay in Easton. Then Nick leaves a message saying, oh, 76, the traffic can be insane. It's like LIE on Long Island.
And I wanted to let you know that we were having construction being on the building and just, you know, make sure that you showed up with enough time to save you some time.
I respect that.
See, Pete, I would have said Bell Parkway is closer to 76, and you would have known exactly what I mean.
So yeah. I wanted to be here so bad. I call the old man, say, I can't make it to you. I stay last night at a Holiday Inn Express in Allentown. I'm in bed by 9:45. What am I doing, the Tonight Show? I'm in bed by 9:45 for radio? I get up in my Subaru Outback. I'm driving so early. I was listening to Twinks. When you're talking about Twinks.
Oh, my God.
And then when she was saying Casey should do stand-up, he'll bomb. I've been listening all day. Now I'm in a parking lot with my Subaru Outback 2006. She starts smoking on me.
Oh, no.
Oh, my God. Right? So now I'm lifting up the hood. Total white trash. I'm in your parking lot with the hood up. It's bone dry. No oil. I don't know how that happened.
No.
Now I got to cut through the parking lot to your local oil with no car. And I'm buying 3 quarts of oil. And I'm missing the show.
You went to the local oil to get
oil? Yeah. I just pumped 3 quarts. And then I'm in my car doing a light tap on the gas to get that oil going, get it in there before I come in. So that's the whole thing.
Well, we appreciate you, man. That's cool.
Hey, well, listen, one of you might be giving me a ride out of here yet. Still isn't solved.
We were talking. You're from Long Island. That's where you know, I was born in Manhattan, but raised on Long Island for many years. And, and you know, and we talk about Long Island. There's a definite common sort of lineage, and you know, a lot of blue collar. Suffolk County,
yes.
Which is Suffolk County, Preston is Nassau County's nose is up when talking about Suffolk County.
Yeah.
Okay. Right? Right? You know?
Yeah. Well, we live in the kind of area where, like I remember last time I was writing on Kevin Can Wait, which we filmed on Long Island.
Right. It's supposed to take place in Massapequa.
Yeah. And I hadn't been back there in so long, you know, living where I live. So I go to make a right-hand turn. The woman before in front of me, she's not turning right, and it's driving me nuts because she can. So I go to cut through the parking lot right there. I didn't see a curb. And I'm going over the curb. My whole Jeep is Subaru is bouncing. Yeah. And the guy behind me, total Long Island accent, goes, "Yeah, you go, you hero, you."
That's exactly.
So
you can confirm when I say whenever anybody from Long Island is depicted on any Big Brother or Survivor, they're guaranteed to be the nuclear dick on whatever show they're right.
Oh,
it's always the same thing.
We were filming when we were filming one thing. Kevin James kept saying radiator, right?
Yeah.
And the guy at CBS keeps going after every cut because you don't say nothing to Kevin James. He goes, "It's radiator. It's radiator." I go, "Guy, out here, it's radiator."
Wow. Was that fun? Because we were just talking off air about Kevin and the show. I enjoyed the show. They changed, they swapped it and brought in Leah Remini, who I think is awesome. Yeah. And it was not, you can't deny the chemistry those two had, but it did take a complete shift in the tone of the show.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, just talk about foreshadowing. I haven't really ever talked about this, but we're doing the very first this is the first sitcom I ever was a part of. You know, like Kevin saw a Showtime special I did. I never met him.
Right.
He said, "I got a room full of writers. I need a comedian. I'm a big fan. I've been a fan of your stand-up for a while. I want to come write on this." So now the first day of taping, he goes to do a joke. And when you're the star of a sitcom, it's way different than other sitcoms because he can do whatever he wants. You know what I mean?
Yeah,
so
yeah.
No one's telling him no. So he's going to do a scene. He wants to change it. And he comes over and goes to the other guys who wrote with him on King of Queens. He goes, "Did we do this on King of Queens?" And he goes, "Someone Google it. Google, see if we did that," right? So now they're looking at his phone at a scene from King of Queens with Leah Remini. And now they're laughing at the scene because they haven't seen it in a while. It's kind of funny.
Right.
The wife in our show is leaning over looking, and he looks at her and goes, "She means nothing to me." But just joking, don't worry, you know. And at the time, I'm sure Kevin thought that, doing a different show. And then here you go, a year later, and wow, did things change.
Well, what's that like? Because, I mean, obviously, coming from the world of stand-up, your stuff is very sharp, and I could see why why he was a fan of yours and wanted you for the show. But I always get the impression that on a sitcom with a turnover like that, that it is a grind.
It was crazy. I mean, half the writing staff either quit or got fired in the first season. There was, like, four of us left, and I never even wrote on anything before. So, and we were there. Just the only thing that was good for Kevin was nobody lived there. No one lives on Long Island that writes for a show. So we're all in apartments away from our family. So it's really no big deal to be there till 3:30 in the morning.
Right.
So what are you going home to anyway?
Right. Yeah.
But, you know, and then like we're going to, you know, get rid of the wife and we're going to she's going to die. And how's she going to. It got crazy. It got crazy, man.
I love the story of you meeting Seinfeld because I can relate to it, not on meeting Seinfeld, but meeting somebody through somebody. Like, you're friends with Tom Papa, right?
Oh, yeah, this story.
And so you got a chance to say hi to Jerry, but I think you just sort of assumed that your friendship with Tom Papa would maybe lead to a friendship with Seinfeld. Is that how you felt about it?
No.
Was this a plan?
It's kind of a longer story, but in a nutshell, no, Jerry floats around. You know what I mean? Look.
Floats around meaning that friends or just he's a...
The story he's alluding to is when Jerry left the sitcom and he came back out, there's like different guys got different ways about them, right?
Yeah.
Like I used to MC early on at the Comedy Cellar before I completely broke in there. I would host every night. I remember bringing up Seinfeld one night and he goes, I go, "Ladies and gentlemen, a man who needs no introduction." He like just started doing stand-up again, right? He grabs the mic and he does like 2 minutes on, "I guess I'm not a person. I don't need an intro." And I'm off to the side going, "Guy, I was trying to be respectful." Then I bring Ray Romano up. He covers the mic and goes, whispers to me, "Don't leave the room. It's been a while." Meaning he might bomb. And he might want me to say. So it's just, that's humility.
It's a
different kind of.
Yeah.
So anyway, Seinfeld one night was with Tom Papa. It was an old friend of mine. And they're sitting at a booth at the Comedy Cellar. So I'm waiting to go on.
I figure, let me go over and say hi to Tom, right? Because I'm waiting like an hour, and I'm like, why aren't I saying hi to my friend? Just because he's sitting with Seinfeld? What is it, God? I can still say hi to my friend.
Yeah.
So this is all in my head, you know? Yeah. So I go up, I say hi to Tom, I say a few things, he introduces me to Jerry, I say something that makes them both laugh, I do a fadeaway, mm-hmm. It was nice.
Yeah.
Right? And then at the time, I used to do this radio show on Sirius XM with Jim Brewer, and I'm telling him the story, right? Because then what happens is a little later on, I finished my set. They're still up there, Tom and Jerry. Now I got a few Heinekens in me. And I'm like, I decide I need to talk to Jerry some more. So I go back up to them. And as I'm walking towards them, I can see Papa giving me the look like, back away. Yeah. Abort,
waving you off.
I literally go, Pop, this ain't for you. Jerry, this is for you. Seinfeld doesn't even look at me. He's like still looking straight ahead. And I still keep going. I go, Jerry, you got to host the Oscars. They need you. Right? He gives me nothing. Right? So it was so awkward. I literally go, okay, goodbye again. And I do a fatal goodbye again. Right?
Oh, no.
So now apparently I tell Brew the story. We laugh. About a month later, Pop is coming on. So Brew goes, I wonder if he'll remember that story. I go, nah. He won't know. And Brew goes, I think he will. So Papa comes on, and Brewer goes, hey, man, before we get started, I got to ask you about something. Papa goes, not only do I know what you're going to ask me, the entire flight over here from L.A., I was asking myself, do I tell Corielli what Seinfeld really said?
Whoa. Yeah.
Right, so, man?
Yeah.
So apparently when I first did a fadeaway, Jerry said, oh, who's that? And Tom said, oh, he's a really funny comedian, Pete Corielli. He's one of us. You know, whatever. I guess apparently they're on some panel. Right. Right. So
you're one of them.
Right. But that was the key. He goes, he's one of us. So then when I do the second fadeaway, instead Seinfeld whispers, oh, he's an idiot.
What the? I'm an idiot for telling you you should host the Oscars.
Oh, man.
Yeah.
Listen, we've heard.
Nick, I was never trying to barbecue with the guy.
I know. But you knew Papa, and we know Papa. And every now and then you sort of get into this realm of, like, well, I know this guy. Maybe I'll get to know that guy.
Well, I mean, I do a podcast with Sebastian Maniscalco for years now. And he's like, he does tons of stuff with Seinfeld.
So, but these levels, these circles of friends that you think that you might be a part of. And then every now and then you realize that you shouldn't have gone back and had the second goodbye.
Yeah, well, I mean.
Well, the Maniscalco thing is you know, you do the show with him. He's taken off. When I see him in the Green Book, he's in, right?
Oh, and he's going to be on the dollar bill soon, I think. There's nothing left to do. I'm like, what, are you going to play the moon? You're going to play on the moon? Sold out 4 shows at the Garden. It's done.
Yeah. But that's good that you guys, I mean, you share that together, though. But does it become more problematic as he's doing more things to be able to do the show with you?
No, because we only do it once a week for an hour. I mean, come on. Radio is like such a bigger thing. What you guys do every day for hours and hours.
Right.
I mean, I've been listening to you guys since 6 a.m. That'd be a month and a half of podcasts.
Right.
Wrapped up. I tried to go to him. I'll see you in April.
I have a question about Sebastian, because he played the Wells Fargo Center last year.
Yeah.
And tell me if this sounds like something he might do, because we heard it was a bit of a rumor that afterwards there was a massive traffic jam, people trying to leave the venue. And the word was is he had them hold everyone so he could get out of there first.
I wouldn't know about that, but I mean, I wouldn't, you know, I mean,
he's big time, so, you know.
No, that I don't know.
Okay.
I do know, like, I opened for him only once. I did it at an arena in Jacksonville, and he did that Wells Fargo one, I guess, in Philly, and he says to me, the roadie guy's there, and Sebastian's there, and the arena's empty, and he goes, and the roadie guy goes, so when you're done, you know, kind of stick to your time. And I go, don't worry, I'll definitely stick to my time. And Sebastian goes, yeah, no, I don't mean to be like that. Well, buddies and all, it's just that I'm in a box. I go, what? He goes, yeah, like, they bring me out in a box. I go, and I'm laughing, right? And he goes, because there's a big round stage in the middle of the arena.
Yeah.
And he goes, so I come up through the stage, you know, with the flames on it. But I have to do one or two things. I'd have to either be under there before they seat everybody. So I'd be under this little stage for 3 hours.
Oh, my God.
Or they got to somehow get me. So when you get towards the end of your set, they put me in a box. I look like a piece of equipment. And he goes, and there's holes in it so I could see up like this because I get close. And they wheel me under the stage. And I go, bro, I can't even close knowing you're underneath me in a box.
Now that's in my head when I'm trying to do my last spin.
Jesus.
I go, I just want to be up there going, he's in a box. I'm not getting off. He's suffocating right underneath us.
Wow.
I mean, pointed out when it's coming. Can you imagine on stage going, that's him. They're wheeling him.
That would be awesome.
He said it on our show. So I said, bro, now you're going to need 5 boxes. The Thomas Crown Affair where they're all wearing their top hats. You don't know which one is.
That's wild because, you know, to see him take, and he's, every time we've had him on, he's a great guy. He's always, you know, he's super cool with us. But for you to see that, it's gotta be wild to see him. You've been at this for a long time and sometimes lightning just strikes. I mean, your stuff's hilarious. But to see him just start to take off, it's gotta be wild.
Yeah, absolutely.
To be in proximity.
You told us an interesting thing offline, Pete, and you said as a comedian, it's kind of fun to watch other comedians bomb from time to time because you yourself have, of course, had bad nights.
Yes.
You know what it's like.
Oh, yeah.
But it's a growth. It's, you know, you grow from that, I would imagine, as a comedian.
You do, in its own way, of course. I mean, truly, you just being up there in any scenario, you know, you're up there, you dealt with it, so now you know how bad or not bad that can be, so.
Do you sometimes know the second you step on stage, this is going to be work?
Oh, I have on tape. I was in Omaha last week, second show, Friday night, and I go, I've been doing stand-up long enough to know my instincts are telling me this show is going to suck.
You just said that right up front?
And you can hear the comedians in the back giggling that were watching, because they're like, you're so honest. I go, honest, it's Omaha. I literally tell the crowd, I'm not kidding, I go to a lady, I had a delay from Detroit, coming from Detroit, I had a layover to Omaha, and someone in the crowd yells out, oh, God. Detroit? I go, seriously, lady? Isn't this a lateral move? Detroit to Omaha? I mean, really? You're winning? Okay. I said, I know I should have been nicer to them. I'm in the hotel. I go, I got the magazine, Omaha Things to Do. Normally, I thank you for coming out to the show, but you people should be thanking me for being here.
You really want them over.
Oh, yeah. Maybe that's why I didn't go back.
Well, let me ask you. So
Omaha.
The people I see that do the best that I've seen, you know, I had a truncated career in stand-up. I realized I was, you know, not born to be it. But the people who just loved getting stage time, you know, always did the best. Because even if they were bombing, they were still having fun with the bombing. You know, unless they were, somebody charged them on stage, they still had a good time.
Yeah. It's just sometimes when you get to a point in your career, like I'm so looking forward to Sellersville because I'm getting into more. I like
the theater.
Oh, listen, nice clubs. Philly is 2 fantastic clubs.
Yeah.
But a lot of clubs around the country sometimes just start playing these places. And you just, you may as well have a ratty piano up there doing bar tunes sometimes. Like, you know, you're just the entertainment.
Right,
know?
Right.
So, you know.
What was the rattiest, because every comedian has the place that is the rattiest hellhole you ever played.
Oh, I mean, come on. I played on the stairwell of a strip club, so, I mean, there's that.
Stairwell of a strip club?
I was playing once. We were doing a guy, the Munsters guy, Grandpa from the Munsters.
Al Lewis.
Yeah, he owned a comedy club on Staten Island. So we're going to go do a Sunday night show. We're all auditioning to play his club in the future, right? So me and 2 guys were going there, and the one guy was around Christmas time, and he goes, I got us a side gig, $75 each. I'm like, great. So back in the day, we pull up to a house. I'm like, guy, what are we doing here, Rod? Rod Reyes was the guy's name.
Right.
He worked for a company that hired, if you wanted, certain things, and this lesbian couple were having a small dinner party for Christmas of like 15 people, and they wanted a little comedy show. And he had a little boom box he put on the mantle, and we stood in front of the fireplace. We had to take our shoes off, and he changed the words to Walking in the Winter Wonderland to some, like, Walking in the Crazy New York City, and we all had to sing that at the end, and we don't get our $75.
Oh, my God.
And I'm like, dude, I got a big audition at Dangerfields I have to get to. Yeah. I mean, at the Grandpa.
Yeah.
So it was just.
That's wild.
You look back now, and if I would have, I can't believe I didn't quit, you know? You just.
Yeah.
The only advice I ever give any comedian who wants to be one is I go, you got to love it so much that you can't imagine not doing
anything but, right?
Yeah, and then everything else will fall into place. But if you don't love it that much, don't even bother, man.
That's Al Lewis, man. I remember.
I've been doing it 20 years. I'm walking through your parking lot to get oil for my roux. It never ends.
Not much has changed.
My wife's got a Tahoe. I'm not a total loser.
where are you living these days now?
Fredonia.
Fredonia, that's right. Yeah.
Must be a long morning with him over here. Preston's got a...
Fredonia just doesn't even register when you say it.
Wow, man.
Did you go to a SUNY school up in New York?
I don't even want to get into it, but I actually did go to SUNY Fredonia.
So you didn't drive
And then
far.
I graduated, left there, met my wife at a wedding. She was the maid of honor. I was the best man. She's like, I'm from a town you never heard of. And I go, I went to college up there. We lived in the city for years, lived in L.A. for a year. And then I moved back, and I live in a house down the block from my college house. Yeah. Am I? That's like loser.
Well, is it?
It's weird.
Yeah.
It's weird.
Because especially what
it's great.
Do.
I got a kid. That's why I did it. It's a great place to raise my daughter. That's why I did it.
All right.
That's,
yeah.
That's why that I did it. What do you think I'm like?
Yeah. That's why you do it.
That's because that's an entertainment nexus is Fredonia.
Well, listen, unfortunately, we got to wrap up. We got to get into the commercial break. But Pete is going to be playing at the Sellersville Theater. Tomorrow night, 8 o'clock, tickets start just $22. It's a great room.
Oh, it's awesome.
And I can tell already you're going to tear it up, man. You're very, very funny.
It.
We appreciate you coming by here today.
Thank you for having me.
Sure, guys, see you again.
Give us the receipt for the oil. We'll take care of it.
Yeah. Cover you on that. Thank you, Pete. It's nice to see you.
Thank you, man. Thanks so much, guys.
And Pete Cariello, guys. Yeah. We're going to take a break. We'll be back in just a moment. Stay there.
93.3 WMMR presents Jackson's Local Shots Artist of the Month, The Warhawks. Celebrating our area's best talent, bringing it to you on air, online, and in the community. Hear and see more at WMMR.com. Keyword Local Shots. Jackson's Local Shots Artist of the Month, sponsored by Family and Company Jewelers. Find a band that rocks our world at Family. 93.3 WMMR. Everything that rocks.
All right, Bizarre File time. Let's go.
Now, Bizarre. WMMR presents Bizarre. Kristen and Steve's Bizarre File.
Sponsored by Mulch Works, offering mulch, topsoil, compost, decorative, and crushed stone, grass seed, straw, and more. MulchWorks delivers to residential and commercial markets. Visit them online at mulchthis.com, or you can stop by in person to meet their friendly staff. An Oklahoma Arby's manager is accused of shooting a customer to death after he spit on her and threatened her.
Is that in the handbook?
Deanna Young reported a drive-thru customer being abusive and cursing. That man, identified as Deshaun Talent, spit in her face and said he would come back to hurt her. When Talent returned to the Arby's about an hour later and began circling the parking lot, Young, the manager, ran outside, got in her car. She followed him. Both vehicles braking and playing cat and mouse, police said. And then she shot him and then drove back to work.
Mm.
Yeah.
Took care of it.
An off-duty deputy found Talent inside a black SUV that appeared to have crashed into the front of a nearby Walmart. Talent, who had been shot, was taken to a local hospital and he died shortly after that. Officers arrested.
I killed him, guys, and let's top off this horsey sauce.
Officers arrested Young, who initially said she had destroyed the murder weapon, but later confessed and led police to where she dumped the gun. She was booked in the county jail on first-degree murder charges. That's
I would say wild. That she probably could have called the cops.
Yeah, I think she overreacted a tad bit. 75-year-old man out for his morning jog was gunned down by a huntsman who mistook him for a deer. The hunter, who had not been named, now faces an attempted murder charge because police refused to believe that the shooting was an accident.
Look at this. Look at this deer trying to pass himself off as an old guy.
Ali Rosdahl can be seen in footage released by police, which was recorded by the gun's electronic sights.
Mm-hmm.
The officers say that it was obvious the target was a human being when the hunter shot the jogger from a distance of about 170 meters. It happened in the Swedish town of Klippan. Mr. Rosdahl, who had been enjoying a morning run around 4:30 a.m. near his home, said, I heard a blast and I fell to the ground. I was shrieking, what the hell kind of shooting is that, he said. The shot went straight through me, and if it had been 2 centimeters higher, I wouldn't have survived. Mr. Rosdahl was severely injured but managed to reach a neighbor a few hundred meters away, where he was receiving help and taken to the hospital by ambulance.
I got you, dear. Now shut up.
It turned out the bullet had gone straight through his side, exiting through his buttocks without any vital organs being damaged.
What a miracle.
The Norwegian gunman, who was reportedly visiting Sweden from Norway to hunt deer, wild boar, and fox, was arrested later that day. He insisted the shooting was an unfortunate accident, but after viewing the video footage, which shows the hunter aiming at a figure who buckles over as the shot hits its target, cops have charged him with attempted murder. The hunter's lawyer said he denies everything. It was a pure hunting accident, and there was no intention of killing.
I wonder annually how many, I mean, I don't hear a lot of stories, you know, but I'm sure people accidentally get winged out when they're, you know, deer hunters and
yeah,
stuff like that.
Yeah, it happens a decent amount, you never know what you're going to see in Florida. Richard Griffin of Titusville says that he and his wife were driving north on I-95 Friday when they saw a man and a woman running across the road. But as they got closer, they saw that the woman had no clothes on. Griffin said she was naked from head to toe and trying to round up a dog. So he had to
Thank you, God.
He had to slow down and grab his phone. And Griffin said, not one bit of nothing. She had nothing on her whatsoever. Man, I could not believe my eyes. And that's why I took a video, just so I could say to myself, this really happened.
I can see this lady's fuzzy foo-foo.
Griffin says the pair then ran back across the three southbound lanes and safely made it back to their car with the dog. And, of course, it's a mystery why the woman had no clothes on. They don't know who she was or where she went.
So she could run faster.
I guess maybe that was it. Berlin police say an 81-year-old man is being investigated on charges of causing dangerous bodily harm after he whacked a smoker in the face on a downtown train station with a wooden fence picket.
What?
Because he was smoking a cigarette in the non-designated area.
Why was he traveling with a wooden fence picket?
Police said that the 61-year-old victim had refused to put out a cigarette when the older man informed him he was smoking in a non-smoking part of Frederikstrasse station. They say the older man then hit him in the face with the wooden board, injuring his upper lip. Police, who apprehended the attacker at the scene, said he had the wooden picket on hand because he was on his way to his garden.
Well, going to my garden, that's why I have my wooden picket. Okay.
A murder trial is underway, and we're looking at a lot of murders here. A murder trial is underway in Monroe County, Pennsylvania.
One guy lived present, the deer guy.
You're true. Yeah, that's correct. You are correct. For a woman accused of shooting her boyfriend, Barbara Rogers entered the courthouse Monday morning for a trial in the death of Stephen Minio. Police said Rogers shot Minio in the head at a home nearby. According to the investigators, Rogers and Minio belonged to what was called the Sherry Shriner, an online cult centered on aliens and the end of the world.
The Sherry Shriner?
Yeah, Sherry Shriner. Rogers claims the cult turned against her and Minio, and because of those problems, Minio wanted her to kill him. During the opening statements, the prosecution went over what happened the night of the shooting. Rogers and Minio were at a nearby bar until 2 a.m. Rogers said that the couple had a few drinks but were not drunk. Once they got home, the victim suggested they go into the woods behind their house and shoot his gun.
Mm-hmm.
It's 2 a.m. Let's go out in the woods and shoot my gun. When they went back inside the house, things turned deadly. Rogers claimed that they were in the bedroom when Minio put the gun up to his own head, wrapped her hands around the weapon, and told her to pull the trigger. She called 911 to report the shooting. She told dispatchers, my boyfriend had a gun. He told me to hold it here and press the trigger. Oh, my God, he's dead. Rogers claimed she didn't know the gun was loaded and called the shooting an accident. Prosecution says that the shooting was not an accident. Rogers could have prevented it. Before the jury was brought in, the judge asked Rogers if she wanted to accept a guilty plea for third-degree murder. That carries a sentence of 10 to 15 years, and Rogers said no.
I'm sorry, Steve. Have you ever heard of this cult before?
No. Do they believe in an alien
presence? Well, according to the website, the twin sun is about to show up, and it's going to destroy everything in the atmosphere, but the government is keeping us from knowing about it.
Of course.
I'll be representing this woman, Your Honor. I am a Jupiterian. I am registered a name you cannot pronounce. My name looks like a semicolon and the symbol Prince used to use.
Right. Esquire.
Esquire.
Yeah.
Attorney at law.
That's pretty wild. I'll have to go take a look into that online cult a little bit. They have a pretty antiquated-looking website.
Yes, they do.
Yeah, come on, man. To my line of thinking, aliens have the up-to-date technology.
You would think.
Yeah. Not just JavaScript.
I mean, her ancient grandfather is King David. And
look, you even have to update your Adobe player there, Nick.
Yeah.
Oh, wouldn't the aliens have the newest Adobe player?
Sherry is the head of the cult, I guess?
Yes.
Sherry!
She,
cult leader!
She's Jerry a direct Schreiner. Descendant of King David, and she is the messenger of the Most High God.
Oh, okay. Of course she is.
There you go.
She just operates that ice cream stand for a kick.
Something to do.
Yeah, yeah, for a hoot.
Uh-huh. All right, that's your bizarre foul. I want to give away the last pair of Double Dare Live for tonight. We had Mark and Robin and Harvey by earlier. Had a great conversation with them. They're so happy to be together. This is the only show where the three originals are together. It's at the Kimmel Center tonight. Wait a minute. No, Kimmel Center Presents. It's at the Merriam Theater. So it's tonight, 215-263-WMMR. If you can make it, we'll take caller number 18, and we will give you those tickets. Some tickets do remain for this evening. Not very many. Tomorrow's sold out, but you can go to KimmelCenter.org to get them. But caller number 18, you are good to go. 215-263-WMMR. Give us a call right now. We're going to take a break. We'll be back in a moment. We'll get to the lesson question, all that other stuff in a second. And we have one more matchup for Daily Rush Madness to bring you up to speed on as well. We will return shortly.
WMMR's live stream. Our daily programming available anytime, anywhere on your desktop, tablet, smartphone, or open the new MMR skill with Alexa. Great sound quality and the occasional bonus song. Nice.
We are ticking down to the weekend. We'll be there before you know it and giving away the cool VIP experience we have for you. Casey's Corner with the MMRBQ. Now, you can get the letter of the day today and tomorrow and win that prize, or you can do both things and swing by and meet up with Casey, who will be at the Metro Store on Castor Avenue in Northeast Philadelphia, 4 to 6 p.m., and register to win that same prize, right, Casey? I mean, we have a couple of these we're giving away.
Yeah, but, you know, this way, if you come out to the gig today, you're competing with less people that are, you know, doing the Word of the Week.
That's always the incentive, yeah. Where's your, you know, you can increase your odds dramatically.
So you'll find the Metro store at 6637 Castor Avenue. So that is today from 4 to 6. We have one more of these to hit.
It's time for Preston and Steve's Daily Rush Madness.
All right, one more matchup for today. And we've done seven altogether. These are pretty evenly seated. A 7 and a 10, so it's a little bit of an edge. Somebody texted in and asked, call me stupid, but or they said, call me stupid, but what does seed mean with this latest contest? It just means where they are ranked in popularity or potential.
And fertility.
And fertility as well. So it's just a scale that we came up with, and it's used in other sports.
Yes.
But we are using it for this particular one, so that's what it is. So number 7 seed in the privileged region is the Warrant Hotline.
Oh, I love that one.
Meaning the band, Warrant.
Yeah.
And that's going up against number 10, which is You Just Made a Mess in My Mouth, which is something that I said. We were talking about combining different foods, I think, or something like that. So here's a quick snippet from each of those videos. We'll start with the Warrant Hotline.
That would be in the list of other things we do besides rock and roll. We make huge mistakes that will send our family members to jail. That was stupid. Learn about more stupid things we do by calling that number.
Oh, my God.
Call it twice, and I'll let you know what happens behind closed tour bus doors. Oh. We're sleeping.
It was the Warrant Hotline that we were listening to.
Just the original hotline itself, the audio is hilarious. Yep. This is when they had those 900 numbers and those fan numbers.
Mm-hmm. And that goes up against You Just Made a Mess in My Mouth. Here's a quick clip from that.
I don't even want to talk about that. You just made a mess in my mouth. I just said that.
You just made a mess in my mouth. How am I going to explain it to my mother? I told you he would do that. He's a football player. Did he give you that line about the big game?
Damn it.
He made a mess in your mouth, didn't he?
Okay. Yeah, another one of the stupid things that I said. So, which one's going to win is entirely up to you. And you can vote now. You can go to WMMR.com and click on the Daily Rush Madness banner. And then you go over and you can watch those videos if you want. But you don't have to watch them to vote. But if you want to, you certainly can, to bring you back up to speed with that. And Punchline Philly is our sponsor. They have up for grabs a really cool prize that you can enter to win each and every day when you go to vote. And it is a chance to get a pair of tickets to each and every Punchline show for the rest of the year. How about that? Some really big names come through.
Absolutely.
One entry per day. You have to be at least 21 years of age. And the entry deadline is April 5th
at 9:59 a.m. And contest rules are available at WMMR.com. It's brought to you by Punchline Philly Comedy Club, Restaurant, and Bar. Lesson question is what we're going to do. And we are going to give away today Philly's prize pack, and that is from ShopRunner. So let me see what we have here. Wow. How about this? All weight loss programs involve which food item? 215-263-WMMR. All weight loss programs involve which food item that we were talking about on the air this morning? In fact, they have a new flavor. 215-263-WMMR. Let's see if you know the answer. Call now. Designated caller gets the answer. If the answer is correct, we get you the prize. And while we're waiting for that, we're going to do the trash.
The trash business is a gold mine.
93.3 WMMR with Preston and Steve's Hollywood Trash.
Brought to you by Mulchworks, offering mulch, topsoil, compost, decorative, and crushed stone, grass seed, straw, and more. Mulchworks delivers to residential and commercial markets, so visit them online at mulchthis.com or stop by in person to meet their friendly staff. What's going on today, Steve?
Well, Spice Girl Mel B revealing that during the early days of the Spice Girls, she and Jerry Halliwell once slept together. Mel B says she mistakenly assumed Halliwell was just a dude with huge natural breasts.
Oh, my God.
Wendy Williams flashed her wedding ring at reporters when asked about her husband allegedly having a baby with another woman. Williams says she never wanted to be one of those wives who henpecks her husband every time he gets a whore pregnant.
Oh, hey!
And finally, TGI Fridays, I don't know if you saw this, being sued by one Solange Tronosco, who claims the potato skin chips they sell at supermarkets have no potato skins in them at all. Tronosco is suing for $5 million in damages, saying that since discovering the issue, he has suffered from extreme greed. And that's your Hollywood Trash.
All right. We'll head over and see if we can get somebody to give us an answer. All weight loss programs involve which food item? And I will go to Andy and see if he knows the answer. Hey there, Andy.
Hey, guys. What's up, Gadzooks? You guys rock.
Andy!
Thank you, Gadzooks, to you, Andy. Do me a favor. Tell me what all weight loss programs involve.
That would be Totino's.
Totino's! Yeah. You got it, bud. Hang on a second. Because for you, we have a Phillies prize pack from ShopRunner, including a Bryce Harper Phillies official name and number t-shirt, Bryce Harper hometown t-shirt, a Phillies 15-ounce stainless steel tumbler and hat. And you also get a year-long membership to ShopRunner. ShopRunner, an e-commerce network that offers its members free two-day shipping and returns across 100-plus retailers. MMR listeners can sign up now for a free one-year membership at ShopRunner.com/WMMR.
Now, Preston and Steve's Music News on 93.3 WMMR.
Yeah! All right, Music News this morning is brought to you by Dunkin'. Fuel your day with iced coffee from Dunkin'. Dunkin' now has $2 medium iced coffee all day long. America runs on Dunkin', excludes cold brew. Participation may vary, and it's a limited time offer. We'll begin with this. Imagine Dragons and several other artists are going to be coming together to honor the military during a special event at Rockefeller Center in
New
York.
That's cool.
And it's over Memorial Day weekend. The event, called Side by Side, a celebration of service, will honor servicemen and women, military veterans, and their families. And the two-part event will take place May 25th at two of New York City's famous landmarks, Rockefeller Center and Radio City Music Hall. Coinciding with New York City's annual Fleet Week, Side by Side starts at noon on the 25th as active military veterans, their families, and members of the general public will gather in Rockefeller Center for activities, including free performances by Boyz II Men, Gavin DeGraw,
wow,
and cast members of the hit Broadway shows Jersey Boys and Wicked.
Preston, they're saying that two lucky servicemen and service women will get to see Al Roker's dressing room.
Oh, my goodness.
Yeah.
It's pretty awesome. Congratulations.
Right there.
That same night, Imagine Dragons will rock Radio City Music Hall, and service members and veterans will receive hundreds of free tickets to the show. The general public can buy tickets starting on the 29th, which is tomorrow.
That's fantastic.
Yeah. Lars Ulrich said that performing drum tracks for the new Netflix film Triple Frontier gave him a taste for possibly creating a score of his own one day. He explained, "I started thinking what it would be like one day to make a score for a film only out of drums and rhythmic instruments. You can go so many places in how you manipulate the sound."
You were just talking about the guy who did Birdman, who's
Yeah, we're going to have a gentleman by here a week from tomorrow. His name is Antonio Sanchez, and he is an absolutely incredible jazz drummer. And if you ever saw the movie Birdman, whether you liked it or not, because I didn't really care for the movie, but I was transfixed by the score of the film because it's only percussion, and it's him playing drums. And it made me go look up, well, who is this guy playing on this? And I found videos of him, and he is incredible.
Yeah.
He's phenomenal.
You know, when I was watching the movie, I knew it was pretty cool and catchy, but I didn't realize the only instruments being used were percussion instruments.
There's one short segment that has other instruments, but the rest of it is all drums, and it's all just him on the drum kit. And we'll ask him about it. He'll be here on Friday. I think I'm having a quote-unquote
drum off
with him. I am so not looking forward to this.
All right.
Because he is so amazingly good, and I am just I'm so rusty, it's ridiculous.
You know what I'm going to do? I'm going to be the Natalie Wood, and I'm going to, like, you know, drop the handkerchief between both of you. Like in
the race. Yeah. All right. So anyhow, Lars has gotten a taste of that type of thing. But apart from a one-off guest shot drumming for Merciful Fate and several jams of the bands, the performance marked his very first recording outside of Metallica.
Wow.
Yeah. Slipknot has shared a short video from the recording sessions for the band's new album. The one-minute clip features distorted and slowed-down vocals along with footage from inside the studio. The band's long-awaited sixth studio LP will arrive on August 9th. We'll follow up 2014's Five the Grey chapter.
Whose cup of coffee is this?
Hey, I was bummed out to hear about this. Everclear frontman Art Alexakis posted a letter on the band's website revealing that he was diagnosed with multiple sclerosis, but it happened almost 3 years ago. He's had it, unbeknownst to him, for anywhere between 10 and 20 years.
So it can't be a very aggressive situation, right?
No, he's got a version of it that... It looks like it's going to be manageable, but still, you hear that, it's going to scare the hell out of you.
Absolutely.
He wrote in part, I can feel the disease slowly growing in me, and I now have to give myself injections 3 times a week. My neurologist says as long as I stay on the medication, I should live into my 80s without progression. We shall see, he said. Art will issue his first solo album called Sun Songs this summer, and we'll embark on a solo tour starting in May.
There's a guy who initially, you know, when they first broke on the scene, really enjoyed the music, but he just seemed really emotionally effed up, and he was nasty. Yeah.
He was a former heroin addict, and he had a lot of rough things happen in his life.
Then he came through, and he's like, you know, like the nicest guy.
He's happy to be alive.
Enjoying life. So it's a little bit of a bump, but it sounds like he'll have a full life.
I hope so. And then one last story, coming May 24th is Sting's latest album titled My Songs, and he's going to be updating 15 of his solo and Police classics. Sting, who had first revamped his catalog orchestrally, with 2010's Symphonicities, has reimagined such favorites as Every Breath You Take, Walking on the Moon, Englishman in New York, Demolition Man, If I Ever Lose My Faith in You, Message in a Bottle, Can't Stand Losing You, If You Love Somebody Set Them Free, and So Lonely.
What's your favorite solo Sting song?
Probably If You Love Somebody Set Them Free.
If I Ever Lose My Faith in You is...
That's a great song.
Love that song.
That is a great song. So he's going to be reimagining those, and I'm interested to see what he'll do with things like So Lonely and Every Breath You Take and stuff like that.
Well, you know, he has like 5-hour orgasms, and I imagine that cuts into your work...
Your time.
Yeah.
It's got to be difficult.
When you're just there grunting for 5 hours.
Yeah. All right. And there you go. That's what I have. And music news for you. We have one more break to take. Let's do that. We'll come back in a second. We'll get that letter of the day for the Word of the Week prize to see what Pierre's got going on for you. Stay there.
You know that yearly family picnic, the one where everybody shows up to hang outside, enjoy good food, great friends, and plenty of cold beer. And while it might be fun to watch Uncle Joe do a keg stand, MMR's Family Picnic has a kick-ass rock bands providing the entertainment. Shinedown. Cause it's about to get heavy. Joan Jett and the Blackhearts. The Struts. And Evanescence. Plus GA performances from Fozzy, Bad Wolves, Uncle
Glorious Sun and Zuravo. Bud Light presents MMRBQ 2019, Saturday, May 18th, BB&T Pavilion, WMMR.com for details on $25 lawn tickets. Hit up the Rock Shop for this year's MMRBQ t-shirt presale. Order now in time for the show.
Presented by Bud Light, brewed with hops, barley, water, and rice, and sponsored by Rita's Water Ice and Godchall's Turkey Bacon.
93.3 WMMR, everything that rocks.
So some thank yous for today. You know what, before we do thank yous, one of our interns has an event. She is with Temple Radio. We've had intern Victoria in here before, and she wants to tell us about an event that's coming up. What's going on?
So WHIP is hosting our annual fourth annual Turns event. It's a radio networking event. We actually have Steve and Marissa coming in to represent Preston and Steve, which is really awesome. So thank you, guys.
Our pleasure.
We also have Mark Zumoff coming in. We have Kirby Confer of Forever Media being our keynote speaker, Marilyn Russell, and a bunch of other really awesome panelists. And we're just so excited. I mean, Wawa's catering it, so we'll actually get to eat at this one.
Cool. Is it open to, who can attend? General public?
As long as you're 18 or older.
Okay.
We don't have the clearance for minors, so we unfortunately will have to turn you away. But yes, it is open for the general public. It is hosted in the Howard Gittes Student Center, or as Temple kids call it, the SAC. So that'll be awesome.
Been a dream of mine to perform.
When is it?
It is tomorrow from 11 to 3. And, yeah, it is open to the general public.
Cool. What's everybody going to be talking about, mainly?
Depends on the panel you go to. So for Steve, Marissa's also taking part in the Women in Radio panel, so just about overpowering in the radio industry. And
I identify as a woman, so that'll work out really well.
There we go. And the morning panel, just how you got your start, giving advice to other people. So, yeah, we also have podcasting, news, promo, music. Anything. We got it covered.
It's wonderful. And you guys do good stuff. And I know you in particular, you're very eager. And you know, you guys do a lot of stuff now you're working with the video department, you know.
Yes.
And so all that stuff, going to these things, networking, it's very important. So
yeah.
Kudos to you guys for putting on the event.
Yeah, it's not about what you know. It's about who you know. And
yeah.
Does it cost anything?
Nope. Totally free.
100% free. Okay, so Saturday.
Tomorrow
at the SAC. From 11 to 3?
Yep.
Okay, so you just swing on by. And if you don't know where the SAC is, I'm sure you can go up to some... You can park at Temple and ask somebody.
It's next to the taint.
And they'll show you. It's right next to the taint. You're not wrong.
Yeah.
No.
The Theodore Ain't Center.
Uh-huh.
When it's cold out, it's a little harder to find.
Maybe. So anyway, any information online about it if people need it?
Yes, so you can go to WHIP on any of our social platforms. Instagram, Twitter, Facebook. We have the RSVP available on Facebook. We have our graphic hosted up here in the studio right now. All the directions can be found up there. And if you have any other last-minute questions, you can go to WHIPRadioTU.com and go to our staff page and email any one of us.
All right. Awesome.
Excellent. Thank you, Victoria.
Yay! She's doing some good video work, Preston. Actually, she cut together that extended video after the camp out, after the Cardboard Classic.
Yes. All the interviews and stuff.
Helping us a lot. Yeah.
Excellent. Hey, I want to thank our crew from Double Dare, Mark Summers, Robin, and Harvey, who came by this morning. And they have some tickets left for tonight's show, Double Dare Live, at the Merriam Theater, KimmelCenter.org, to get those tickets sold out tomorrow. But what great people. So cool to spend some time with them. And should be a lot of fun, a whole lot of fun. Get a little flemish. Thank you to Pete Corielli for being here this morning, too. Pete was hilarious, man.
Very funny.
And he's playing the Sellersville Theater tomorrow night, 8 o'clock, and you can get tickets at theater.st94.com. So I'm sure we'll have him back again sometime. Pierre Robert has moved into the seat where Victoria just was, has the microphone. How you doing, man?
My moving crew is here.
They
moved me in.
Takes a crew to get you to where you need to be.
It takes a village to transport me.
I believe
it's a beautiful process, though. It's like when they move a house.
Exactly.
You know, it's slow, and it's a beautiful thing to watch.
Yeah.
Like a majestic landmark being moved and relocated.
Even going to the kitchen.
Flashing lights and emergency vehicles.
Yeah, police escorts, the whole thing. It's not easy.
You are a legend in the industry, so.
Well, I am, and it's not easy being me. And particularly if you run on the Swiss precision watch-like timing, which operates within my frequency brain.
Mm-hmm. It's unbelievable. Actually, the atomic clock calls you for the time.
Exactly, mm-hmm. Steve. Yeah. You've got it now.
Sharp as
George.
A tack.
Tacky, tack, tack.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Don't talk back.
Let's get our letter of the day. Are you ready? There he goes.
Yeah.
All right, yeah, here we go.
Preston and Steve on 93.3 WMMR.
Now, the Daily Letter.
All right, the Preston and Steve show is brought to you today by the letter.
L as in Larry.
All right, we have one more to go, and that's it. We have a Casey's Corner VIP experience for MMRBQ 2019. Only offered by Metro by T-Mobile, including a pair of reserved seats, passes to the catered VIP party, commemorative laminates, and a meet and greet with one of the bands. And you're going to qualify for an autographed guitar from this year's bands as well. Metro by T-Mobile. That's genius. And also, I will plug this now because Casey is going to be out today with your chance to win that same prize at the Metro store. In Northeast Philly, it's located at 6637 Castor Avenue. When are you going
to
be there today?
I'll be there from 4 to 6. So let's say you hate the Phillies. Yeah. And you're not going to be watching the home opener today, and you don't care about it. Even if you do, stop by. I'll be there from 4 to 6. And it's an opportunity for you to perhaps win the VIP experience with the Casey's Corner at the MMRBQ.
It's honestly, I'm not trying to listen.
Yeah.
There could be a lot of people going to the other event, to opening day.
Mm-hmm.
Hedge your bets.
Right.
Get on over there. You're not competing against a lot of people.
Yep.
It's sort of a side door way to get in on this.
Uh-huh.
Correct.
That's what I'm thinking.
What do you got today, side door?
Well, I
like that.
Yeah. Yeah, side door repair. Well, it's game time, and I got my brackets filled out, and I'm ready to rock.
All right.
Absolutely.
With a big game today, you got to have your brackets.
Yeah, you do.
If you're going to watch the baseball game, you've got to be bracketed.
Brack-a-lack-a boom.
Thank you.
Mm-hmm.
You sounded like me, man.
I'm trying to be you every day.
God bless you, lad. we're going to continue our celebration of the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame and do blocks from a bunch of years, actually, we're going to combine today. And then also add in one artist that will be, or one band that will be inducted tomorrow evening, and that'll be Radiohead. So we'll do a full block of Radiohead and a bunch of other bands at various times that have been inducted in moments from the Hall of Fame ceremonies that we have absolutely live. Actually, live, and that's pretty cool. And we've got a pair of lawn tickets for the MMRBQ to give away.
Nice.
Lovely, sir. Yeah. And it's going to be a beautiful day today.
It is.
60 degrees and sunny, so I'm sure people will be hanging on your every word. I have to thank our sponsors. Preston and Steve Show's brought to you today by Timothy Off Heating, Air Conditioning, and Plumbing. You can right now save $30 on any repair. Also brought to you by Mealy's Furniture. Just what you're looking for. Tomorrow on our program, other than giving away our Word of the Week prize and wrapping up the week and more Daily Rush Madness matchups, we have the great Terry Gilliam joining us of Monty Python fame. Yes.
That is so cool.
It'll be a phone call, but it's going to be great to talk to him. It should be really cool. So, those things and more. That's it. We are done. Rage on. Have a great day, and we shall see you tomorrow, gang. Bye-bye.
Preston and Steve, love you, hate you.
Live.
This morning, I'm on the rag. Don't talk to me. I'm pissed off. The entire state of Wisconsin.
Next message.
Huge shout out to Preston and Steve Show. You guys are going to keep me going every day while I hike the Appalachian Trail from Georgia to Maine. You can follow my progress at Matt Burns Fat on Instagram. Love you all. Rock on.
Next message.
If you're the type of that goes into the merging lane to get around five cars, you're a piece of shit. You are the scum of the earth, and I hope you fall off a cliff.
The Preston and Steve Love You, Hate You line.
Call 484-434-1333.
MMR rocks.
Brought to you by DellToyota.com and DellChevrolet.com.
Jack, sell them for less.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. It's going to be a busy year for country superstar Jason Aldean. He's extended his Highway Desperado tour and is teaming up with Kid Rock for Rock the Country tour dates. We've ranked our top five Jason Aldean music videos. Text Jason to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Jason to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.